Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in. Welcome back to another edition of Leave It in the Ring, my boxing fans' official radio show. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Gable Montoya, and the man behind the switchboard, the man that makes it all smooth. Every week on Thursday is Mr. David Chen himself. Anyways, I got to apologize to Dave because I didn't even let him know, because I was out and about and busy. Didn't let him know that we were pushing the show till 6 o'clock today. We have a good show coming up tonight, though, man. I got to tell you, Adner Mares and Hector Sanchez. Hector Sanchez, who's going to be in the Showbox New Generation, is going to be coming on and talk to us a little bit about his appearance on Showbox and what his thoughts and his hopes and dreams are going to be to move on in this beautiful game of ours called boxing. At the same time, Adner Mares, who had his win, his victorious win over Joseph Ibeko, is going to be coming on, talk to us about that controversy win, about the Lobos, about Russell Mora, about the rematch, about everything that we all want to know. A lot of us have a lot of questions for him. If you want to call into the show, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. You can speak to me or Gabriel. All you got to do is got to go through David Chen. If you have a question for any of the fighters that do come on tonight's show, please let them know what your question is so that it's posted here on our switchboard and I know exactly what you're going to ask so it's not blinded, you know. Unfortunately, because this is such a heated topic with Adner Mares, we have to be respectful. Can't have you coming on here acting a fool. You know what I'm saying? Can't be playing that beat, you know. Let the boys be boys. Can't do that. Anyways, let me batch in my co-host Gabriel Montoya. Really quick, a huge announcement for us. We have finally emerged and bought into the Undisputed magazine, digital magazine. So Leaving the Ring is officially part of it. And we got 3 months of free issues to give out to anybody that wants to have 3 months into it before they pay for it. But it's exclusively going to be online. It's digital. We're going to bring some great content. Just overall, it's going to be a little bit different than your normal boxing magazine. We're going to bring a lot of different things. We just don't want to announce it until you get it, which would be the first issue with Leaving the Ring involved. It's going to be October. Though the September issue will be out on the 6th. That's actually a pretty good issue. I was checking it out. A lot of great stuff. The guys from the UK, man, put in a lot of work into that magazine, a lot of heart. And now it's just time for us Yanks, as they call us, to put in our insight and input and bring some other type of flavor. So I'm really looking forward to that. Gabriel Montoya, too, has signed on and being a one of the lead writers for Undisputed. So I'm excited about that, along with Mark Ortega, Sal, the Fight Junkie, George Jimenez, Barba, Barba, who writes a lot of stuff for us. Kim Martinez, who does our fight feed. I don't know if you guys check that out, man. Hilarious. Speaking about the fight feed, hey, Gabe, have you had a chance to go on the Leaving the Ring website yet?
I've been reading the fight feed. I've gone on the website. Usually, I do it through Twitter. Mark Ortega will tweet it out, and then I'll follow the link. I'm digging it. I think it's funny.
She does a great job, and it's funny because she ends up getting the bites, the sound bites from Twitter and from Facebook or whatever. It's around circulating or from interviews, and she packs it all in on the fight feed. And you know what? She's got a lot of in-depth in the sport of boxing. She's a newly boxing person, but she's really getting in the trenches there of really finding herself in the boxing world and trying to make a stamp out of herself, make a stamp into the world of boxing in her writing. But I got to tell you this. A lot of the times I post her stuff on my Facebook or I throw it up on Twitter. I got to tell you, if you hadn't had a chance, the exclusive fight feed that she did throw up was yesterday with Vicious Victor Ortiz about the Oscar De La Hoya confession. And the head pitcher, which I didn't even know because her and Mark have the code to get into the website. So if you guys haven't checked this out, just tell me, am I wrong about this, man? Go on there, look, and there's a picture of Victor Ortiz posing in front of the mirror. I guess TMZ had took it or something and was parading this, saying that this guy was much better looking than Floyd Mayweather. I felt a little, you know, weird, man. I didn't want to put it on my Facebook. I felt bad. You know, I felt like I cheated Miss Martinez about putting such a great article that she did make. But at the same time, I didn't want to feel gay. Am I wrong?
Or are you gay?
I didn't want to feel Oscar. You know what I mean? That's terrible. You know,
he's more try. You know, he's just kind of try. You know, I'll try anything once. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty secure. I know I'm straight. There's not really, you know, I don't think there's like that one special man out there for me that if
picture,
I meet him, I would have changed my mind. But yeah,
that
the picture
was pushing the envelope, though. You know what I mean? And
oh, dude,
when I went on
yeah,
the leaving on the ringside, I saw it, and I got to tell you, I sat there for a moment, and I was like, should I take that picture off, or should I leave it on? But you know, I was like, you know, she posted it. It comes from a woman's view. but I got to tell you, I just couldn't put it on my Facebook because I just didn't want to hear the ridicule of people going like, what's going on with you, D,
yeah.
You know? Oh, man. So
it's strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. You know, it is kind of, it's kind of scary. But, you know, it reminds me of like, I don't know if you go on forums, but it's kind of a forum culture thing where people do like signature bets.
Right.
Where they say, like, okay, you know, if my guy wins, I got to put up whatever picture you tell me, you know, that, you know, you have to put up whatever picture I tell you to.
Yeah.
After the David Haye, Vladimir Klitschko fight, I post on Doghouse Boxing's forums, which actually just came up with a brand new forum. They redid it all. It's really nice. You should check it out. But, you know, all the guys that lost the bet, they either had a picture of naked David Haye covering his junk, or they had that picture of the Klitschko brothers all nude covering their junk. And it was kind of hilarious because, like, people would come on the forum and go, what the hell is this site? Like, you know, every other person has a naked Klitschko or a naked David Haye. Like, this is a gay boxing
the doghouse forum. This is a pussycat forum. What are you talking about?
I had to, like, change my settings so I couldn't see anybody's signatures. It was just too much because, you know, I'm not gay. I'm not picking about it. But
which we don't have a problem with it. I mean, if that's your preference.
It just makes you uncomfortable.
And I felt uncomfortable with it because I was like, you know, there's a lot of people on Facebook that don't know me. So they may assume something and not read. Because a lot of people do that. They read the headline and then they'll just assume that I wrote it. But they don't know that I run, you know, I run the website. I own the website. So we have a lot of writers and a lot of contributors to the website. Now that we have the magazine, they're going to be the same thing. So I get people literally email me, you know, particular things that were written, and I'll be like, whoa, hey, don't kill the messenger. So I definitely didn't want to make anybody misunderstand what was being posted on my Facebook. So I said, you know what? I'm sorry, Kim, but I just can't go that way, that far right now. I know what you're trying to, you know, push out there. That was just across the, you know, it was just a little too much just for my taste. I mean, really quick, Nesto, he's asking if we're pushing the iPhone app yet. I said it's supposed to be done this week. That's what I was told by our sponsor from My Boxing Fans. They told us, Edgar, who's the owner, told us it's because the banner's already done. So I guess what they have to do is turn it in, and then it has to be made up. So it should be done this week. You know, hopefully tomorrow. If not, the latest will be after Labor Day weekend, right? And then so all that should be done. The Undisputed Magazine also is going to be on Android and iPhone. So you're going to be able to get all the content that we're putting out in the magazine, along with the new stuff that we're going to be putting in the magazine. There's a lot of cool stuff, man. I can't wait for it, you know, for our stuff to come in to play on the October issue. Not to take away anything the UK guys have been doing, because the guys from the UK, man, have been doing some phenomenal, phenomenal stuff, man. And I got to tell you, it's a big honor for us here in the West Coast, you know, across the pond, to join forces with these guys and allow us to be part owners of Undisputed. So please support it. You know, it's not that expensive. Right now, like I said, we're offering 3 months free subscription. Then after that, it's $1.99. You can't beat that. You know what I mean? $1.99, and you're going to get great content. It's not going to be like the other magazines where you're going to get content that, you know, has passed on. So you know what I mean? you know, a fight that's a prediction. We're not going to do that to our subscribers. We're not going to do that. You know, you're going to get always updated stuff, and the things that are happening on that moment on the month, you're not going to pay for. It's going to automatically continue going up on Leaving in the Ring website and Undisputed. There Will Be Blood and Noche de Boxeo. So, anyways, the big news, man. Oscar De La Hoya comes out and confesses on Univision. What are your guys' thoughts about it? I'll tell you my thoughts about it, man. I wasn't surprised, Gabe. I was not surprised, you know. And, you know, in a lot of ways, man, I felt for the guy, you know. The only thing I was wondering was immediately after that interview, I was wondering, well, you know, how it was there. You know what I mean? How awkward was it, you know? He comes down and he really spews it, and he opens up.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I find it interesting. He did do it in Spanish and English.
Right.
But he did it on Univision. And as far as I know, and I looked into it, but, you know, I wasn't able to find anything concrete, but doesn't he have, like, an ownership stake in Univision? He does.
Wasn't it that somebody from there was helping him vote in the beginning?
It was Jerry Ferencchio. That's what it was.
Yes.
Ferencchio. Yeah. But in any case, you know, I found it interesting that he decided to go.
Go launch.
He decided to go on a Spanish feed.
Go fishnet.
First. Yeah, well, there's that. But go, you know, I thought it was interesting that he would do it. You know, they're doing all this stuff on CNN and you know, with the star power, and that he decided to do it as a man. But you know. That he did it on a network that not everybody was going to see. I mean, that's a 2020. That's a Barbara Walters. You know, that's you could go very high profile with that interview.
I know. And, there's you know, the view.
And they decided to go Univision, which I thought was interesting. So you know, they kind of because that's such an exclusive for them, they probably controlled it. The questions were probably all pre-screened.
It in English and Spanish, you know what I mean? I mean, you already kind of had to go through the motions. So how genuine and prepared was it to do it in English and Spanish? You know what I mean? That's the thing that kind of threw me there. I was like, wait a minute. You know, they asked him in Spanish or was it in English first? What were the guidelines about it? And did he ask the young lady after the interview, what size do you wear? Because I'm a size 2. Oh, terrible, terrible.
I'm swimming down, though.
Tasteless
jokes
here on Leaping in the Ring.
But, you know, it was interesting that there was a few things this week that kind of threw me. The boxing media can be, and I don't like to be critical of them. I'm actually critical of people that are critical of boxing media.
Right.
But it just seems like everybody and their brother wrote an article about Floyd and Floyd fighting with each other. So predictable. It just seemed like people got force-fed this. Look at this argument. There was even like a press release about the argument before the episode came out. And then people wrote about it. It was like they were cued to write it, and then they wrote it. And then when Oscar admitted, yeah, I can't say it wasn't me in the photos of him, you know, cross-dressing, people wrote about it. Oscar admits to it. We kind of knew, you know, by the pictures that it was real in the first place. I mean, I guess it's a big deal that he was like, yeah, that was me.
I guess it's a big deal. Yeah, the confession was a big deal, but
I guess
the surprise of it. And I wasn't surprised. I mean,
Steve Kim. I just want to know. I think it's Steve. I don't know if you saw Steve's tweet. It's like, forget the infidelity and the lingerie and the coke and the alcohol abuse.
Right.
What happened to the last four rounds of the Trinidad fight? This is like that's the question I want to know. That's the answer I need. And why didn't they rematch?
Remember the Obakar fight? He had said, because he was having such a tough time going off, and he finally catches Obakar. He says in the interview, the post-fight interview, he said that there was something physically wrong with him.
You know, having a personal problem.
Yeah, I was having a personal problem. So, you know, G-string, fishnets underneath, what was going on? You know what I mean?
I'll tell you something off the air about that later. But,
oh, man. Going to rob everybody else from it, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because some of the stuff he talked about, and, you know, when you do an interview, like I did that Nacho Berrasbin interview, and part one came out this week, just kind of like the introduction. But we got into the training camp for Pacquiao De La Hoya. And he was on the record, but I'm going to go back and double-check next week when I see Nacho if this stuff is actually okay to print. I found it interesting that they talked about the weight. He said he got down to like 142, and he screwed up that training camp. And I think he did that in another interview, or maybe this one. And Nacho talked about that whole training camp. It kind of is like, and so I'm going to find out if I can actually drop that one and not have to just tell you off the air. But there was one thing that he did mention, that they dropped him down to like 135 for that fight.
Wow.
By accident. Yeah, and then they had to like build his ass back up with pasta to get him like to back into the 140s. But there's so much more there, and it makes me wonder how long his problem has been going on, how long the drinking and the partying. I don't think it's something that just kind of cropped up in retirement. To me, I think it's something that was a pattern over the course of his career, and then when he retired, I think it ramped up because he's got, you know, I was watching him at that training camp for Canelo, and he's sitting there watching him. And I didn't really participate in the round table because I don't really like to be part of that mob that's just shooting questions out there. I kind of asked him off to the side as he was watching Canelo, and I said, "You really miss it." And you could just tell by his answer, he was just like, "Yeah." And he tried to say something, and then he just went back to, "Yeah, I really miss it, you know, and I really miss being in the gym." And I said, you know, is there really anything that can replace that feeling of millions watching you while you're doing your thing and you're at your best? And he's like, nothing, nothing on the planet. And I think it came down to that, of being out of the spotlight and not being able to be the guy. I mean, imagine being the man.
I think that's what happens to a lot of the fighters. I mean, Ricky Hatton,
yeah.
Joe Calzaghe, and let's talk about the numerous past fighters out there that have fallen into that dark side of no longer having the limelight on shine on their backs anymore, no longer having the opportunity of having that one pinnacle moment of changing everything, the changing the odds to evens. I think that's what Oscar really fell into. I mean, we're making jokes. I mean, you got to make light of the situation, but at the same time, you got to understand it's a serious thing, man. I mean, I felt for him because, you know, for one, I watched Oscar from his Olympic days, and I was a fan of Oscar. You know, we had big parties here, always at the pad, you know, for the Oscar De La Hoya fights. But at the same time,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I realize I got to call Abner.
I know we're running with this topic here about Oscar De La Hoya and the fishnets.
Well,
we'll get back to it and stuff. You know, fight fans, I know you guys are on hold. A lot of you guys want to talk about Berto. Other guys want to talk about just boxing, strictly about it. Excuse me, I'm drinking tons of water, man, because it's hot over here in Modesto. This place is like dry heat. I hate it here. I can't wait to move out of Modesto, California, to tell you the truth. Maybe go back to the Bay Area. Anyways, if you want to call in 347-215-7598, you sure can. We're going to have Adner Morris call in right now, talk to us about... Oh, okay, and they're back. So everybody that's on hold right now, please stay on hold. Don't hang up. Be patient. We're going to patch you in. Let's introduce Mr. Morris onto Leave It in the Ring.
And here we are with IBF bantamweight champion, newly crowned, Abner Morris. Abner, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. What's going on, man? Always happy to be on.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man? It's been a while since we've had you on.
Yeah, it's been quite some time. I've been good, man. I've been, you know, doing my thing with my family, you know, being a father pretty soon again in 2 weeks. And, you know, just enjoying the life, you know, the good life with the family.
Iralo. All right, congratulations, bro. How many, is this two kids or your first kid?
This is going to be my second kid. I have a five-year-old already, and so in 2 weeks I'll be a father again for the second time, another girl.
Ooh, that's it, bro.
Wow.
You got to buy cable now.
Yep, Disney Channel, man. So I watch with the kids.
You're going to keep trying until you get a boy?
No, I'm not actually. That's it. I'm stopping there.
That's it?
I hear that, man. It's expensive.
It
it's expensive.
Yeah, you know, it's expensive. And plus, I come from a big family, 11 brothers and sisters. And I don't know. I just
You know, really off the topic from boxing, you know, Adner, is that the funny thing is that when you only have two kids, other Mexican families are going to look at you kind of weird. They're going to be like, ¿Nomás tienes dos? Yeah, I only have two. Really?
Yeah, that's true, man, because us, you know, Mexicans, we just like to have babies. I don't know. We have no money. We like to make babies, though.
That's our hey, bro, that's our pastime right there, man.
Yeah, it's called the poor man's vacation.
Anyways, but, hey, man.
That's always, well, it always kind of tripped me out. Like, my favorite fighter is Trinidad, and you look at him and you go, God, I hope he has a kid that, that follows in his footsteps. Dude ends up having five daughters. You know, that always kind of frustrate you.
Yeah,
but let's get into the boxing stuff. You know, fight fans, really, the number one question on their mind is got to be, you know, what do you have against Abner Mares's or Joseph Agbeko's nuts? You know,
I like how I say, man, you guys got to quit busting my balls already about this brand.
Hey, the only busting the balls was that Saturday night.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, when you watch
he's got balls of steel. What can I say, man? He took over 30 punches. You guys, that's what they said. Hey,
right.
Man, the guy's got balls of steel.
But let me ask you this: do you think that's over exaggerated? Because I don't know. I got to tell you, man, it wasn't 30. I think that was an exaggerated number. But man, it was a lot. There was a lot of low blows.
Yeah. No, it is a few low blows. A lot of punches were right on the belt line. If you look at the replays, they're like, you know, going up towards like his, you know, to his stomach. But again, you know, not 30. I mean, come on, no one can take that many punches and, you know, down there and, you know, not go down or I don't know. But again, you know, I'm a guy that likes to say, you know, the truth. And, you know, honestly, I'm not a dirty fighter. A lot of people are. You know, saying that I'm a dirty fighter all of a sudden, you know, the dirtiest fighter in the world with one fight like that, and it just doesn't go. But, you know, it was not my intention. The 11th round low blow, it was, for real, it was a low blow. I, you know, it was accidental. I kind of got in position to, you know, give him a good body shot, but, you know, I hit him low. He actually covered it with the glove. It wasn't so much, in, you know, down there. But I respect, you know, Beko. He went down, and he obviously wanted, you know, the ref to take a point away from me, which the ref could have, you know, because again it was low, but it was his decision. He started counting. That's not me, you know.
And even people look at that 11th round, and probably because they thought it was a low blow, which, you know, it was. And he didn't call he called it a knockdown instead. But the 10th round, there was a low blow there, too. And I'm curious if you thought he was going to take a point there, because he seemed to separate you guys and it, like, set the stage for he's going to take a point, and then he didn't. Were you surprised by that?
No, I think that's where they show the replay where he kind of leans down, like, you know, Beko saying that I hit him low. And you see my hand going, no, that was not a low blow. And if you go back and really look at the replay, it was not low. It was right on the belt line. It actually was going up, you know. But again, you know, it's boxing, man. It's boxing. The fight is, you know, it's gonna be a rematch already. Something I won, and you know, same thing's gonna happen. I'm gonna win, you know.
Do you think it's just a byproduct of? Oh, go ahead, Dick.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll go right after you.
I'm just, you work the body probably more, or as much as the next guy. Do you think it just comes down to that, is that you're throwing a lot of shots, some of them are going to go low, and it's just a byproduct of it? I mean, do you think people...
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to other fights, you're going to see a lot of, you know, fighters that, like Travis, he would like to work the body. You probably see a lot of, you know, punches that were right on the belt line or low, but, you know, you don't hear the commentator saying, whoa, that was really low, or the, you know, or anyone, and, you know, that, you know, brings the attention out of it. But in my case, you know, it was just, you know, they were just saying low blow after low blow, and you just had, after hearing it from the announcers, obviously, you know, everybody's attention now is on, you know, where my punches go, and, you know, it messed up from, you know, for both of us fighters, you know, from a great performance we both did, you know, gave, as a Beko, you know, he recovered from, you know, almost losing half of the fight and coming back strong like the champion he is. And but you know, again, the fight's done. Again, we're gonna do a rematch, and the audience are the winners here. You know, they're gonna see the tremendous fight again, and you know, clean fight from both of us.
When, before the fight started, where did Russell Mora? It looked to me when you guys did the final instructions that he said, you know, he pointed at the top of Echo's belt line and said, "This is, anything below this is low." Where did he tell you guys in the dressing room? Did he say belt line was fine? Did he say above it? What was his?
Yeah, exactly. He says belt line is right. It's fine. Anything below here and down is you know, it's called a low blow, and that's why he was just not taking a point, because he was saying, okay, it was right on the belt, like, keep him up, Emmer, keep him up, because he obviously, you know, there was a few times I did hit him, you know, low, and again, it came from him, too. I mean, he was pulling my head down a lot. If you look at most of the shots that I hit him low, it was him pulling me down, you know, backing up and just pulling me down, and at the same time, I was throwing a body shot, and it just went down there a couple of times, but, you know, again, I'm not a dirty fighter. I'm a clean fighter. I like to, you know, I like to work the body, and I'm continue to do that next fight.
In this rematch here with Joseph, do you think are you guys a little concerned? I mean, you and your team, the Espinozas, a little bit about the referee maybe this time favoring Abeco, since it looked like more, I mean, it didn't look like, it was more kind of more tend to lean in your favor in a lot of ways of what was going on in the first fight. Are you guys concerned about that?
Not now, but you know what, you make a really good point, because yeah, going to this rematch, obviously the ref is going to be on me, you know, looking that, you know, that the, my punches are not low or right, you know, where they have to be. And let's just hope it doesn't play that way. You know, I'm a fighter, clean fight. Let's hope he does too. And you know, I just hope it doesn't happen that way. But either way, I plan to fight a smarter fight than what I did. You know, this last fight, my fight was good. You know, in the inside, but not going into the rematch. There's so much I could do. You know.
You know,
like
in this
faded
fight,
a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, let me just, you can go ahead. Okay. You know, in the first fight, I got to tell you, I saw very subtle changes about you. Because originally, the first time when you guys were going to get in the ring, I actually was picking against you. Because I was like, you know, I don't know if Modest can bring a different game plan. You know, he's got youth, he's got strength. Then the second time around, I said, he can do it, but he's got to change. He's going to have to come in with a game plan and not commit to Abeco when he backs himself up to those ropes, and you didn't do that. You were darting in and out. Did you think that pace was just a little bit too much for you? Because you know when you have a game plan and you're doing it in the gym, and when it transfers into the ring, it's a completely different ballpark. Did that take a little bit out of you? And now that you guys are going to rematch, do you feel like now you got to add a little bit more, not just to the game plan, but to the stand-up department?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You brought a good point right there. If I plan on doing that type of fight, like you mentioned, as I did in the first couple of rounds, I definitely got to have a better, you know, stamina, better condition. I mean, not that I wasn't ready for this fight. I was in great shape. But, again, that type of fighting definitely needs, you know, something different. And believe me, you're going to see something like that when I fight Abeco again. Again, Abeco's a great fighter, but I just, you know, I just think I'm better. And I know I am, and I'm going to prove it again, you know, again, when we fight in December. And it's going to be a tough fight. I know he's saying that he's going to try to knock me out. And obviously he is. He is going to try to knock me out, because I think, I honestly see that's the only way he could beat me, by knocking me out. And as he saw in the fourth round, he caught me with the overhand right, and he caught me, you know, he caught me really good, and I didn't go down again from the great condition I had, the great training, but I think that's going to be his plan, just, you know, to go for my chin, and we just got to work hard for this next fight.
When you get buckled like that, I mean, what goes through your mind there? I mean, is it embarrassment, or do you go like, oh, shit, you know?
Well, you know what? You know, I just got hit, and I was like, "Oh man!" You know, I wasn't dazed. I just, you know, I knew that I got buckled, and I was like, "Oh man!" I almost went down, And but as you saw, I never back down. You know, some of the fighters, boom, they get hit, and right away, the first thing they do, they start running. You know, they get on the bicycle. But me, I stood there because I knew that Beko was going to try to just go for the kill. But again, I wasn't that hurt, and I was ready to trade, you know, to exchange punches with him, you know. And again, if you go back to that, after he hit me, I just went at him, you know, because I wanted to show him that I was good. I was, you know, I wasn't hurt.
Let me ask you this really quick, because immediately during and after the fight, I got to tell you, bro, I was ripping Mora apart. I was calling him a moron. I was disgusted in the way he was officialing the fight. How pissed are you at him? Because I think fight fans, they're really not laying it hard on you. I mean, you got some, the few that are saying, okay, you're a dirty fighter, which
I got a lot.
Yeah. I'm not really buying into that. We even said it, you know. I was more upset with the way the ref was handling the fight, because it's not your job to regulate what's going on. It's your job to fight. But at the end of the day, though, are you at any way, are you pissed at Russell Mora for allowing this to make this really fall on you, to really take away your victory, your moment? Because this was your moment to shine, to go to that next level.
Yeah, it took away a lot. I mean, honestly, it was not the same feeling. You know, yes, I'm a world champion, and I'll be lying if I said, you know, that, I feel, you know, the same. No, it's not, because you get all these people, you know, these guys that, you know, just tell you that you don't deserve that title, you're not a champion, this and that. So it's not the same feeling. And he did, you know, he did take a lot, you know. Again, if he would have taken a point away from me early in the fight, you know, first thing I would have done, I would have quit going to the body. You know, my corner would have told me, hey, you got to stop going to the body. You got a point taken away. That's it. And, you know, I would have fought a different style. But again, you know, he was doing his job. I can't say anything about the guy. It was his decision, the 11th round knockdown that he started counting. Yeah, that was a really bad decision. Really bad judging there and refereeing, I'm sorry. And again, I'm not enjoying it. I am actually with my family, but when it comes to like the fans and stuff, a lot of people are you know, being really, you know, being mean, being not treating me like the champ that I think I deserve to be called as. Or, but again, you know, we got the rematch. I've never said no to the rematch. I actually said, let's do the rematch right after the fight. I said, hey, you know, don't take my moment away. If you guys want the rematch, we'll do the rematch. And, you know, and as my friends say, let's do the baile.
How much of a trip is it to you? I mean, coming into the fight, especially after the back injury and things got postponed, it was just an Abner Mora's love fest on Twitter. People were just, you know, picking you outright. Beko had no chance. You know, you were the new guy. Everybody was on you. And then the fight happens, and everything that goes down in the fight happens. And it's just like the complete opposite. What have you learned about just kind of the bandwagon nature of fans?
I mean, that, you know, the fans are there. Yeah, they love you for, like you said, just, you know, for a period of time, you know. You're the man for a little while, and then, you know, any little reason, any little thing, and they change, you know. But again, you know, that's what they are. You know, I fight for them, you know, for good and bad people that, you know, are against me or with me. You know, I fight for them, for boxing people, period. And, you know, I go in there and give great shows, great performances, and that's what I want to do. I'll fight the rematch against Beko, and God willing, everything works out, and we fight another, you know, tough fighter out there, you know, because, again, I want to be recognized as a fighter that fought nothing but the best, back-to-back. I know a lot of people are telling me you should take an easy fight before, like, you know, most of the boxers do, but, again, I just want to make a statement now, and if you look at it, it's going to be four fights back-to-back, you know, wars, and, you know, great against, you know, great champions and former champions.
When you're watching when you're in a fight like that and you're seeing Mora doing what he's doing, does that affect you mentally? I mean, are you paying attention to him, or are you just focused in on Beko?
You know what? I'm just focusing in the fight. I honestly didn't know how big of a deal the fight, you know, the low blows and all that had, you know, until I got home and watched the replay, and then I saw Twitter and messages. I didn't know it was that bad, you know, in the fight. Even the people in the crowd didn't know it was that bad yet, you know. And you know, I'm just concentrating there in the fight, you know, to win. Even if you see in the 12th round, I didn't even want to exchange because I knew it was up in the scorecards, you know. But you know, it's done. I'm the champion now, and then now it's now time to prove to people that, you know, I deserve to be a champion.
Now, going forward into the actually, I had one more last thing about the fight. I'd heard that you guys didn't want, or, you know, that Team Espinoza didn't want Mora as a ref, and I heard Don King didn't want to have him as a ref. Did you hear anything about that, and do you find that kind of strange that here's the guy they didn't want, and then you guys have him, and then this happens?
You know what, I didn't know that. I'm just finding out right now. From you, I didn't know that, yeah.
Do you feel like maybe next time you were going to want somebody like Kenny Bayless or somebody that everybody agrees on is top-tier ref?
Yeah, I most definitely will. And that's something I learned from Juan Manuel Marquez. I remember him when I was in his camp when he was fighting Pacquiao, hitting one Joe Cortez and being his referee. And he just said, no, I don't want him. He picked his own referee, so... I think I'm gonna have to start doing that, you know, something that us, you know, both camps could agree on.
Let me ask you this. If the shoe was on the other foot and this happened to you, what's happened to Joseph and how he feels, and a lot of people are kind of backing him up and feeling the way he does, do you think that you would be as well calling for a rematch and saying there was a lot of low blows? Because he was on our show, and he admitted, he goes, look, I don't think he did it intentionally, but they were there. The referee, though, did not regulate that. Do you think his case of what he's saying, Adner, is solid enough that if it was you, you would be chanting the same thing he is?
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, yeah, I have no doubt about that. I will be chanting the same thing, saying the same thing. I respect the guy as a person. He's a well humble guy. You know, he says it. You know, he doesn't lie, and I totally understand. And I feel good, and I'm happy that we're doing the rematch. Not just for me, but for both of us. I think it's not just me benefiting here. Yeah, I think he is too. I mean, he's getting a chance again to fight for his title, and me, I'm fighting, you know, again to prove to people that I deserve to have the title. So it plays out good. You know, I'm happy that we're having a rematch, and happy that the people are going to be watching. And, you know, hopefully after this fight, you know, it's all said and done, and they don't see me as that, you know, dirty fighter as people say I am.
You know, I got to applaud you for that too, because I mean, it was not even a 2-week span, if that. That you said, hey, let's do the rematch. I think you said it immediately on the post fight, right? You said, well, let's do it again.
Yes.
And you've kept your word about that. So people that are out there that are kind of trying to bash you, I think they need to kind of overlook that and look at that you're a champion by saying, hey, okay, there was controversy. Okay, you're calling me dirty. Okay, there was low blows, but let's do it again with a different ref, a different day, and a different time, and let's see what's the outcome. I got to say that this proves your character, bro, and it really tells us, I think it's boxing heads, what kind of a champion you really are.
Thank you. And I want to become, you know, I mean, I'm the champion, but I want to be known as that great champion, and that's why we want to do this rematch again. Echo totally deserves it. He's a great guy. He's a great guy, great fighter. Again, you know, good champion. He came back, you know. He's a really good fighter, and we're going to do it again, and it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a really good fight, and I can't wait to fight him again.
Man, I appreciate you coming on. I know these were some tough questions, and I know that I know it's got to be tough. You know, people throwing, can be kind of brutal on Facebook and on Twitter and forums and in articles. And it takes a big, big person to come on the radio show. To be questioned and asked particular questions. And then, you know, come up with the answers that we're hopefully we want to hear. But at the same time, you got to stand your ground and in your beliefs. And we applaud you for that, brother.
No problem, man. Anytime, you guys know that. You know, I'm here anytime. talk to you guys about anything to fight, whatever, man. And, you know, again, I'm just here to fight and give good fights, win or lose. I just, you know, if I lose, I hope I lose in a great fight, in a great battle. And, you know, again, I'm here to fight for you guys, for the, you know, for the fans out there. And, you know, I want to be recognized as a great fighter. So, again, thank you guys for, you know, giving me the opportunity to kind of, you know, tell people out there how I feel and, you know, what's going on through my mind, too.
Absolutely. Hey, before I forget, because really, really quick, given Abeko the rematch, Vic Darchinian, he's been voicing his opinion. He's been wanting his rematch. Now that you've given Abeko, should you give him the opportunity since he had made the same claims about you the first fight?
You know what? Even with him, I said, let's do the rematch. I have no problems, but we have this tournament. You know, my next fight obviously had to be, you know, Abeko,
right?
Because, you know, I advanced, and Abeko did as well. But, you know, it's nothing but great fights. If I were to fight him again, it will be another great fight, and I would most definitely fight him. He's coming back strong. He's coming back really strong, and it will be a great fight for boxing, and most definitely I will definitely give him a rematch. I have no problem with that.
I'm curious. I actually do have another question. I had that question, but thank you, Dave, for asking it.
Don't hit me.
Coming out of this fight, you know, what did you learn about yourself? And you know, the big guy at your weight is Donaire.
Yes.
Coming out of it, do you look at it and say, because, you know, taking away all the low blows and all that stuff, it was a hell of a fight. It was just by the fifth round, I was like, dude,
right,
I want to see this again. I don't care who wins. Just let's do it again. Do you look at that fight and say, you know what, I'm ready for a guy like Nonito Donaire, who I think is kind of on another level in terms of his speed and power and size? Or do you think, I'm a young guy and I still have a lot to learn?
Exactly. You just answered for me. For real, I'm still young. I got a lot to learn, especially in this, you know, boxing game. I'm going through so much, man. You know, with this, people hating on me already so quick, you know. I barely got my title. And, again, you know, I just got to go back in the gym, keep learning. Donaire is a great fighter, man. He's a, you know, pound for pound, and when I do fight him, I want to be ready, you know. I don't want to just fight him because I want to fight him, you know, because obviously I want to fight him, you know, but the time will come, and I know when I will be ready, and you guys will know when I'll be ready, and hopefully we get better within this fight. You know, we show something different when we fight Abeko, and who knows, it will be, maybe it'll be after this one and another one. You know, I still got to learn, a lot to learn, and I want to be ready when I do fight Donaire.
And last thing, I guess, you know, some people want to get this answer in there or this question in there, and you pretty much answered all the low blow stuff, but I'm just curious, do you think it's a problem in technique that you're going low, or is it just, like we said before, you go to the body, guy moves, it just happens?
It just happens, you know. I'm a guy that likes to learn. I'm going to go back in there and practice my body shots even better, you know. But again, it just happens. If you look at the tape, sometimes he was backing up, he'll pull me down, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I'm young. I got to keep learning. I'm going to continue to go for that body. So, you know, Abeko, who worked those abs good. and that's it, you know.
So it's not going to change your game plan. You may refine your tools, but you're still going back to that body.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I think that's my strong right there. That's what I got, and I just got to continue and polish that.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much, man. I appreciate your honest answers and coming on. Always a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you, guys, man. You guys have a good one, and I'm here anytime.
Cool. All right, brother. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care. Well, there you go. Adner Morris comes on, leaving the ring, tells us his thoughts and what he thinks. You know, the thing I like about what he was saying was, look, was he going to sit here and go, yeah, they were intentional? I didn't think they were. We never said they were intentional. We said, though, there were low blows, and they happened. The official didn't call him. He did a poor job. You know, and some folks need to really understand. They need to separate that. You know, the official did a poor job. It's not Adner Morris' job to sit there and official his own fight. You can't do that. His job is to come out there and do what he's got to do. And if you're not calling it, and look at Bernard Hopkins, how many, even Tito Trinidad, you know, Salvador Sanchez, Julio Cesar Chavez, if you don't call it, they're going to do it. Julio was notorious. He made, he had great, eye vision where he would see the ref on a blind spot, and then he would throw something illegal. He would make sure that it landed. You know, that's what a fighter does. It's a fight. Fighters fight, but officials have to official. You
know, and I think people they didn't really separate the fighter from the ref. You know, the ref did a bad job. Abner
terrible job.
Fought. Yeah, terrible. Yeah, that would be the right word. But Abner, he fought his fight, and like he said, you know, I'm not focused on the ref. I'm doing my job, and you know, that's why I asked him at the end. I was like, is it going to change the way you fight, or you're going to have to refine it? And yeah, I think it's something he needs to look at. I mean, it's two fighters in a row that have complained about it. You don't want to be that guy that's always going low, and it could be a defect. But you know, people called him Galata, but to me, Galata had a mental.
It was intentional.
Breakdown.
He looked.
Yeah,
he would look at the point where he was going to hit you, and he did it. Would you watch Adner? When you watch Adner, he could see that. You could, like, and that's why I go back with youth and strength. He used a lot of youth and strength. You know, it was not one of those. What's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't one of those. I know exactly what I'm going to throw and where it's going to be placed at, you know, not as accurate as other fighters were. But, and he would throw these punches, and it was like land where they may. And that's the bottom line. My whole rant and dispute is about the referee. Anybody else out there going like, well, yeah, you know, Beckel, this and that. I'm not blaming Morris. I'm blaming Mora. Moron. You know,
yeah.
I'm blaming this guy. I'm saying this guy needs to be banned from the sport. I've had a few guys either tweet me or put it on Facebook or email me saying, like, no, I thought he did a great job. Really?
Mora? Really?
You know, I mean, did we not watch the Guerrero and Casitas? There's other couple of fights. I can't even think of them. I should have wrote them down that he reffed. And they were terrible. But this guy continuously keeps getting work. And that's where I have a problem with. You know, when you start buddying up with the commissions or the casinos or the promoters, I start having a problem with that because you know what? It's supposed to be work. You know? I know what I do for a living in the union. You can't have your brother work in the same site. You can't have your girlfriend work in the office. So that's the way boxing should be too. If your homie from junior high or high school is working in the same commission or division or city, state, guess what? You guys can't be on the same card. That's my problem with Mora. And Mora is not that incompetent. He knows he did wrong. Why do you think he walked away? Stupid. Stupid to sit there and go like, oh, well, yo, he did a great job. He only messed up twice. That's twice. Too many. Hello?
Seriously. It's a trip, you know, because I don't know. I got a lot of flack for what I wrote, my fight report or whatever, and I felt it was very balanced. And I think if you really look at the fight, you can really point out the things that Russell Mora didn't do. You know, the multiple warnings that led to nothing, the missed call on the 10th, the call on the 11th that really changed the course of the fight. And Abner said it himself, you take away a point from me, I'm not throwing any more low blows.
Exactly.
You know? And that's on the ref. That's not on the fighter. I think people attacking the fighter are absolutely wrong. And, you know, for me, ringside, I wasn't influenced by TV. You know, I didn't hear Al and the rest of the team screaming about all the low blows. I saw some of the replays from ringside, but a lot of times, you know, I looked up for the knockdowns. I thought he missed that first knockdown, and most people agreed. The crowd was like, "Oh my God!" And that knockdown was on my side of the ring, like right above me, and I was like, "Whoa, that wasn't a knockdown." And then I looked at the replay. I was like, well, maybe their feet got kind of tangled, but it didn't look like the punch landed, you know. And
right.
You know, you could be going down, like, you know, you could be off balance and a punch taps you and you go down. That's a knockdown. But if you're already slipping and falling and going down and then you get touched, that's not a knockdown. And so the ref was wrong on that one if that punch did, in fact, touch him. Those are just simply the rules. To me, all the borderline stuff tripped me out pretty much after the fact because I looked at Russell Mora designating, you know, top of the trunks. Now, maybe he said something different in the dressing room, but before the fight, he said, you know, top of the trunks. But that, you know, again, that was after the fact, you know. Sitting ringside, I was more tripped out by the crowd kind of flipping out. I saw some low blows. I saw some that weren't false, so some that were warned. But again, it's just kind of a heat of the battle thing. I always have to cite Hagler-Hearns. Go back and watch that fight, and your memory of it will be, what a great 8.5 minutes. That first round, best first
right.
round ever. Go back and watch it again and count how many times Richard Steele tells Hagler, keep him up, over and over and over again. It's a ton of times. He never actually stops the action, I don't believe, to say, I'm going to warn you and take a point. But he keeps telling them throughout the whole time. He never does, never takes a point. You know, they happen. And sometimes, you know, it's in the course of the action, and it's up to the ref to go, is this heat of the action, you know, heat of the moment, and I got to let it play out, and this guy's not doing it intentionally. I mean, it all happens very fast. But for me, Russell Mora in a 12-round fight, warning that many times, and then missing calls the way he did, calling something knockdown that wasn't, that's just egregious. I got to agree with you, Dave. I don't know about a ban from the sport, certainly a ban from top-level fights. Go back to undercards, relearn your trade, get back into some workshops, get some retraining, and then come back. Maybe that you can't fix your judgment and your eyesight, but I would at least go that route before I would outright ban somebody. But I want to see those steps taken. You know, I definitely need to see those steps taken before I see that guy on the TV, because he's just going to be, we're going to see it again and go, oh, my God, you know, here's this guy
right.
again. And if he screws up again, I mean, geez, you know, then somebody's head's got to roll.
I'm sorry. I'm just not that tolerant with the guy anymore. Maybe it's because I just don't like his haircut or his bow tie. I just don't want to see the guy ever again referee anything else. Anyways, but let's move on. You know, I gotta applaud, like, again, Adner Morris, man, because it takes a big guy and Espinosa Boxing, Frankie and Mr. Frank Senior, for coming on, for Adner Morris coming on and talking to us, because a lot of heat, man, a lot of heat about that fight, you know, and I knew that they needed to really kind of soak in what was coming at them, and him coming on, I mean, you don't know whether you're coming to hostile territory or friendly grounds or mutual grounds. And I'm hoping that he understood this was mutual grounds, because we're not going to sit here and be like others. You know, they're going to be like, hey, yo, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. Because the truth is that there was some wrong things, and he recognized it. But he also recognized that the ref wasn't doing his job, and he said it himself. You know, if it was me on the other side of the ring, I'd be hooting and hollering as well. And that takes a big person to say that and admit that. You know, so he
yeah.
does admit that there was some wrongdoings in that fight, officially officiated by Russell Mora. But let's move on. I want to talk about some other fights that are happening. I know some fight fans, they want to get on, leaving the ring. That's why they're calling in to speak to us, talk some boxing here with us. Let's go with CT, you're on live right now with Leaving the Ring. Brother, what's on your mind? CT, you there, brother? Let's try him again real quick. CT, you there, bro? Okay, we'll come back to him. Let's bring my boy D. D's always fun to have
yeah.
on. You're on live right now, brother. What's up? What's on your mind?
There he is. What it do? What's happening? What's happening?
What's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
All right. Y'all gonna probably already talk about it, man, but I think Floyd pretty put his daddy out there like that, man. That was pretty foul, man.
You know what? The funny thing, D, we haven't got to that topic yet, which I did want to talk a little bit about and stuff. But let me hear your thoughts, man. Let me hear what you got to say about that, bro.
Well, I mean, you know, not everybody's cool with their pops, parents in general. I was real close to my dad, man. And, you know, I wouldn't dare come at him like that right there, you know. He literally, that was insult on top of insult. You know, you do that kind of stuff behind closed doors, man. You don't do that on no TV, man.
That's the thing, Floyd, you know.
Man, Floyd might have lost some hardcore fans seeing that crazy mess right there.
Especially.
Well, it looks like crazy.
Did Luis Cardinio.
Floyd could have set Senior on fire. And Carcetto. Carcetta would make a video about it explaining why it's justified.
Hey, I like the way Senior came back out of there, though. Man, fuck you, Jim.
Hey, D, that was the only thing left that he could say.
Yeah.
That was the only thing left he could say, though. I mean, you know what, man? Let me say this. Coming from a broken home, you know, being estranged from my father, my dad, my old man, you know, he's a good guy. I have a relationship with him now. But in the beginning, when I was growing up, I didn't have a relationship with him. My father was in and out of prison my whole life.
Right.
So, in a lot of ways, I kind of felt there was a lot in between what was going on with little Floyd and big Floyd. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just caught. Where I think he felt comfortable finally blowing up and maybe safe because there was cameras there. I know this kind of sounds weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not justifying what he did. You know what I mean? But
being
in that point where, you know, I've had certain particular feelings about my father. The only thing is I don't think I would have took it there. I think I would have took it as an adult and sit down with my dad and say, look, man, you know, we got some issues here we haven't resolved. And that's what we did do. We sat down and we had a cup of coffee. And when my father came back into my life, I was already a grown man, owned my own house, and had kids already. You know what I mean? And I see where Floyd's coming from. But in a lot of ways, Floyd is almost like he's almost kind of pampered like a woman. So he don't know how to react to particular things. You know what I mean? The guy's been groomed to be a superstar, is a superstar, and is treated by everybody as, yes, sir. So I think he just thinks he can go off the hinges anytime he feels like it, and it's going to be okay. And in a lot of ways, I don't know, maybe he's sitting back and he's finally seeing this on 24/7 and thinking to himself, like, damn, did I not look like an ass?
By doing this
to my own
man. I mean, when it first started, see, the cameras kind of, you know, they were talking about some female boxers. And then, Floyd looked like he was trying to, you know, take it into another direction, you know. I think Senior's point he was trying to make was, I made you. I made you. But I don't know if he meant, like, I made you as far as boxing goes, or I made you, like, I had sex with your mom and made you. That kind of made you.
Right.
And it seemed like Floyd was trying to take it into another direction, man. That's how it looked to me.
That's Floyd's MO, though. You know, you ask him, you know, what time is it? And he tells you, well, it's 102 degrees outside. You know, he always does that. You know, that's just his tactic. You know, and it's always funny when you argue with his fans, as I love doing. That's their same tactic. You know, you say, well, these guys were kind of small, or, you know, Marquez was a lightweight. Well, Roberto Duran fought Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, and they changed the argument rather than dealing with it. And it didn't surprise me that Floyd kind of – he's not a guy that likes to be braced. And you know,
he's not a guy that likes to be challenged.
No, not at all. And you get – you know, you have Senior getting out of, you know, treated that way in front of all those people. But the flip side of that is you had Floyd being challenged by his father in front of all his people. And made to look kind of foolish, you know, in the beginning, having this argument. And Floyd's a guy, you know, he's a flat-out killer. He's going to win at all costs. And I think that is whether you're playing quarters or, you know, ping pong or an argument.
You know, that's just his nature. And I think he's going to be as ruthless as he needs to be. And I think that's basically what we saw. I don't think anybody should be surprised, though, considering the history of that family, the, you know, Roger and
right.
Floyd, you know, particularly Floyd Sr. I mean, the guy went to prison for, you know, drug trafficking or, you know, being a dealer.
Right.
You know, are we surprised that they act this way? I'm not. You know, to me, it just was like, I wanted to see the show. I was curious about that altercation. When I came away from it, I have no interest in watching that show ever again. You know, it's not. Remember the old Countdown shows? Those were good. They were about boxing, and this guy's fighting for this reason, and this is the camp that he had, and it was cool. This reality show bullshit is for the birds, man. I have no interest in watching people at their worst. And that's really all it is people at their worst. You know, I mean, the Victor stuff was kind of cool, but I don't need a 24/7 to be excited about that fight, you know. I don't come away from it knowing anything that I didn't know before. And that's what I spend my time trying to do. That's how I looked at it. It was just sad. I felt bad for everybody involved except for Floyd, who was being a jerk to his dad. You know, calling your dad a faggot. I mean,
I know, man. That was like
cab driver.
Yeah, that was brutal.
That was nasty, bro.
Pretty rough.
That was nasty. You know what I mean? But hey, you know.
See, I'm surprised Roger didn't stand up. Roger was just sitting there. Hey
you know, but
Roger's there,
always had his beef though with his brother though. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I'm not in their shoes, and I don't know how their family functions. We see what we see, we hear what we see. But the only thing is that I don't like judging families and fathers and sons and daughters and mothers, and the reason is because, like I said, hey, I come from a product of a broken home. I've seen some pretty shady shit in my family too. You know what I mean? If we had an Oprah show, I could sit down and tell you some things where you're gonna be like, for real? No, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully they mend what they got, what's going on with them.
Let me tell you.
And they continue making. I mean, 24/7 too. I don't know if they walked away feeling clean after that segment.
they're
pushing the envelope. You know what I mean?
They're TV people. They're dirty already.
I know.
They sent out a press release about it. They were like, "We got some gold right here." You know,
hey.
If you look at it. People did interviews. They had Floyd Sr. on. You know, people went crazy, but we're talking about it, you know. I felt it was kind of a non-story. You know, it was just like, oh, this isn't the first time it's happened. It's just the first time it happened on camera, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really, you know, when I interview fighters, I don't like getting into that personal stuff. I don't really care. I mean,
you're not going to get anywhere with that personal stuff by asking them after it happened. You know what I mean?
If you take punches to the face for a living, you know, no disrespect to fighters, but there's something different about you already. You know, I don't need to find out what that reason is. You know, I just want to know what you're going to do in the fight. You know, I want to know, you know, how you're approaching this thing. Or are you doing anything different? You know, what are you thinking about when it's going on? I don't want to hear about your dad or your daddy problems. Yeah. We all got them. And if you're 34... Or if you've hit 30, really 25, and you're still blaming your parents for shit, you got problems.
Hey,
you know, I know some people, man, still doing it.
At some point, you got to become a man or an adult and just kind of take responsibility for who you are and let the past go, you know? You don't, that's how I look at it. I mean, you got all that money, you got all that stuff.
You got all that stuff, Floyd, and you can wear fishnets and a wig, and you're yelling at your daddy. What the hell's wrong with you, boy? God damn it.
I just think, like, you know, it just shows that all the money in the world can't buy happiness, you know, and you know, that's usually what poor people say, but you know, it was just sad to me, and it just made me go, this is a guy that you know, people always say, you know, this is a bad example for kids, and, you know, there's a role model, and I think it reinforces the idea that if you're looking for role models for your kids,
Don't look into the hip hop artists nowadays, which I don't even really call them hip hop artists. You know, another thing too, when we talked about the TV people from 24 series talking about them being evil and this and that. You know what? I gotta admit here, D. I think we're a little evil ourselves with Ethan Smith and Kid Chocolate, Peter McQuillan, leaving last week, leaving the ring.
Oh man.
I walked away feeling pretty dirty about that myself, and because I like both of the guys and hearing them go at it and calling each other names. I mean, we're not so far from it either. You know, controversy, man, it sells. And I tell you what, Floyd is notorious, and I put this up on Twitter. He's notorious of stealing the limelight from others. Mm-hmm. He does it to Manny Pacquiao many times. But what? Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, had one up on him yesterday. Took that shit away from him real quick, like candy from a baby, you know? D, I'm going to put you back online, brother, because we got a lot of people that want to talk boxing here with us, man. It's always a pleasure, when you play, bro.
Definitely.
Always a pleasure, D.
All right, fellas.
Later, man.
Yeah, big story about that. I got to tell you, you know, and I don't know. To me, it's it happened. Let's move on. Victor Ortiz had the press conference, and it's always comical when he comes on. He's got a lot. You know what, Victor, man, when we talk about issues here, you know, we've heard his issues. We've heard his up and down with his mother and his father, and now he's reconciling with his mother. But now it's turned from, you know, I had this with my mom and my dad. They left me, to the media. The media. You know, the media this, the media that. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, the media. You mean the same media that got you this fight? The same media that's put you in this position? That media? Are we talking about that media?
Yeah, I thought that was, I guess for lack of a better word, kind of bullshit. It kind of pissed me off. I was sitting there listening to him. Well, I guess the media came up with this idea that I can't make weight or that I quit in that fight or, no, we just saw the fights, and we just saw you move up in weight, you know, and your own manager told us you're having trouble making that 140, you know. And they saw the difficulties versus how well he made 147, and they decided we're not going back. I mean, it's not a crime. I thought it was a very strange interview. I don't know about you, but it was weird. You know, he just kept kind of deflecting and not really wanting to answer things and kind of being – defiant, and you know, you look at Oscar, all the problems or whatever aside, he actually used to be kind of a decent interview when it came to fights. He would be pretty open, almost too open sometimes. We were talking about, you know, he was going to lose before a Quarte fighter, that this guy could beat me, or
right,
straight up about Hopkins, that this guy could knock me out, and I don't want to get knocked out. You know, it's, to me, Victor's tactics were very strange, and he seemed to get defensive when I asked him questions about the drug testing. Like, why are you even asking me that, bro? You know, like, because you're taking drug tests, you know, and in 20 years, if this becomes the watershed moment in boxing history where we move from bad blood testing or, you know, no blood testing and bad drug testing to you know, expensive 365, 24-hour unannounced testing, he's going to be one of the first two guys that was part of that. So, of course, I want to ask him. I found it interesting that, you know, that one of my questions, and, you know, people have ripped all the other quotes from that interview, like, you know, Floyd's not as good as he says he is, or I'm going to beat Floyd, or this and that, all the kind of flashy quotes, and they left out the blood testing quotes. But I asked him, like, some of the parameters of the test, and he said he had no idea about the test.
Right.
I found that very curious that, you know, I mean, if I'm going to submit you to blood testing, aren't you going to look at that contract and find out what exactly they're going to be doing and how it all works? I would. I thought it was very, very strange.
Now, you know what? But that's not the first time we've heard a fighter do that. You know what I mean? Not with just drug testing. With everything, you know, about putting trust into their camp. I mean, when you go back with Antonio Margarito, not really knowing what's going on in his gym. When you go back to other fighters talking about their contract, they don't even know what's really going on in their money's in the contract or what the stipulations are in the contract or the clause. a lot of fighters, unfortunately, don't bother to look at the fine lines in their contract or bother to try to investigate themselves. They put so much trust in the person that is either older or in the suit. And I'm not accusing Rolando. Rolando's a good guy. But what I'm saying, though, as an individual, sometimes you need to take a step back and go, you know what? This is my life, my money, my career. I need to look into this. I need to take responsibility. Because the worst thing to hear after when you get slapped or cut in the hand, on the wrist, or whatever the case is, and put a rope around your neck and thrown over a pipe and hang yourself, is to hear the guy go, well, I didn't know because so-and-so was handling this. And now we're supposed to be sitting back and feeling bad for you. That's where education kicks in, man. I mean, that's when, to me, when you're making an X amount or you're doing this and you're doing that, you should sit back and go, well, let me look into these little things so that I know what's happening, so that I don't look foolish when I'm asked these questions. I mean, going back with Victor Ortiz, he's a kid here that I come across that wants you to take him as intelligent and becoming a man. And when you ask them that question, which I should have recorded, you know what, I should have edited down and put it on the MP3, which I'll probably do, and then you can hear that small part where he seemed confused and he really didn't know what the hell you were talking about. He was like, huh? What was that? Excuse me? And that's what throws me back, where I'm like, well, if you want to be taken serious and you want to be given this I'm 24-25 persona, hey, follow up on what's going on in your career. I don't know. Am I wrong about that, Gabe?
You talk about the testing question when he was
saying,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. The testing.
Yeah, to me it was just, I think he thought I was accusing him of because the question, just to let the listeners know what the question was, in normal WADA testing, amateur athletes sign up for, 365 days, 24 hours a day, truly random, unannounced testing. Within the parameters of that, there's an 18-month window where you get to miss two tests. They let you know they're on their way. You can say, hey, I can't make it. Let me do a makeup. You get, basically, there's no reprimand for it. They send you a paper. Hey, you missed this test. You have one more test you can miss. The third one is an automatic positive test, and you get a suspension. The loophole there is that it's not disclosed when you miss tests. They don't tell anybody. They just tell the athlete, hey, you missed a test. So I asked them, because, Floyd and all these guys, they're signing up for basically training camp testing. They're not signing up for the full WADA year-round testing. So I was curious if they had those two missed tests within the parameters of this Mayweather testing. And that's what I asked him. And, are you able to miss a couple? And I think what he was asking was, are you saying that I've missed a test? He's like,
right.
I don't need to be missed tests. He got very defensive about it. When all I was trying to do, no one would really answer any questions about the tests. So I figured maybe Victor might answer the question. He's usually kind of straightforward. And I figured maybe, I'd get lucky and somebody would tell me just exactly how it all works. And he didn't. Instead, he got defensive and acted like he didn't understand the question. Maybe he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
I clarified the question, but I think what he didn't understand was why I was asking the question. But still, I would have liked a better answer than the one I got, I found it funny, too, that they pretty much, as soon as I got off the air, they were like, okay, only three more questions left.
Only three more questions left, because everybody else has been asking candy questions.
Yeah.
What's
funny is because when I asked Hopkins when he was in L.A. About drug test, they immediately ended the press conference there, too. Same publicist.
You're a party killer, bro. I am a party killer. What is that? What do they call that? A party crasher.
I am. It's just like, I'm like the guy that farts loud at the opera, and the quiet moment.
Dude, They need to know. The guy that comes in with the black leather jacket, yeah, that guy right there, him. That guy right there. Don't let him ask a question. Hey, let's pass in some fight fans, man, and we want to talk boxing. And really quick, because we couldn't get CT. Let's see if we can get CT back on with us. CT, you there, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? CT, what's up, brother? You there? Nope. Okay, brother, we're trying, man. You're not coming through. So let's go with, okay, Dave Chin put a question mark. He wasn't sure. GTO wants to talk. Dornier Gamboa. What's up, brother? You're on live right now. Leaving the ring.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Nuts GTO.
GTO, what's cracking, brother? How you doing, man? What's on your mind?
I'm good, man. Just listening to the show, enjoying it. A few things on my mind. The 24/7, I don't think it was as bad as everyone is making it out to be. I mean, all families have issues, and, you know, money doesn't change who you are or where you came from.
Exactly.
If anything, it just makes you more arrogant. So that, basically self-explanatory for the Mayweathers. I mean, Floyd is always going to be Floyd. We're talking about a guy who's, you know, dealing with like 6 charges right now. So him screaming at his dad on national TV, I don't think it's a big deal to him.
But it also goes to the way he was groomed. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people are forgetting, that this guy was groomed to be something special. And sometimes when you're groomed to be something special, You tend to kind of go off the hinges when things are not going your way. You know what I mean? And that's the reaction.
Yeah.
You get a spoiled brat. He's a spoiled brat. Let's admit it. He's a spoiled brat. And that's how spoiled brats do it. Why are we surprised? I'm not getting that by alpha people. Why are you so surprised of his reaction and how he acts on 24/7?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, you know?
Exactly.
Not at all. It's not like it's the first time that they have argued and aren't
right
on speaking terms. But anyway, no need to waste too much time on Mayweather. I'm hoping he gets his just deserved, even though Ortiz is probably not the guy that can complete the mission, but I'm still just waiting for that day. But yeah, there was talks. I was listening to another radio show, and Eric Gomez from Golden Boy was on, and there's talks of a Donaire and
Gamboa.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
What
that
do
was
you guys think
station
of that?
Yeah, that was on our sister station on the
yeah,
boxing lab.
Yeah, the boxing lab. The boxing
yeah
lab, yeah. And
they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, look, this is the thing with me is Dornier. Yeah, I love to see it. But Gamboa's got a tough task in front of him by Ponce de Leon. I mean, a lot of people are riding him off. A lot of people are saying, okay, this is an easy fight. In all honesty, as much as Gamboa has flaws, Ponce de Leon has a punch. And with those flaws, he can actually meet in between those cracks of the flaws and knock him out. This is a good fight. I say let's wait.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden Boy has been notorious of jumping the gun and matching their fighters a little too quick and too soon. Eric is no excuse.
But are you saying that in... Are you saying that because you're basically the media, so, you know, you want to keep it where it's more of a 50-50 fight? Because we both know Gamboa is going to wipe the floor with Ponce de Leon. I mean, Ponce de Leon is like tailor-made for Gamboa. He's a come-forward fighter. Yeah, he packs a punch, but he comes forward.
Orlando Solito, man, was a tailor-made guy for Juanma Lopez, and what happened? You know, the thing is that boxing, man, is that no matter how many times we say tailor-made, there are particular fights that are tailor-made. But then you got some sparks in that tailor-made where the seam is not stitched completely too tight.
No. You couldn't have been surprised by the Juanma loss at all. I mean, Juanma was getting dropped in days for like 4 to 5 consecutive
fights. Gamboa
was
getting dropped too, though.
But never hurt. Unfortunately for Juanma, every fight he got dropped, he looked a little out of it. It just so happened he was able to come back because he had a punch himself. But Gamboa is always like a flash knockdown. He gets knocked down, comes back up, and goes straight to work. And you can tell the differences in the way he handled the Salido fight himself.
I agree. Gamboa, man, he has shown great resilience, getting back up and doing his thing. The thing though with me is that once. I'm saying I am picking Gamboa to win this fight. I think he's going to win this fight. But I don't think it's going to be as easy, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ponce de Leon catches him with something where it's not going to be a flash knockdown. That's what I'm worried about.
Everybody, look at the class of guys that did hurt Juanma. You know, Mataguba was a very tough, rugged fighter with a lot of experience. He's not an easy guy to get out of there. He's got a funky style or whatever, and you can hit him. But the guy kept coming and wore him down and hurt him. Gamboa's been getting dropped by guys that were just in there to be beaten by him, guys that can't even really punch. Ponce de Leon has got a lot of experience. He's boxing a lot different. He's not even with the team that he was with when he got beaten by Lopez. I think he's very much a live dog in this fight. I think if he can control distance a little bit, he throws nice straight punches these days. He's got a sneaky angle to his power shots. I don't think this is a walk in the park at all.
I don't know. I'm really sad that Juanma lost because I get frustrated with the comparison to Juanma and Gamboa. And I love Juanma, bro. I was really disappointed. I'm nobody special, but I always knew that Gamboa was going to be the one to, beat Lopez. He just showed too many signs of being a person who gassed out, being a person who couldn't take a punch. I mean, in the middle of him destroying Concepcion, he gets knocked down, and he's, like, out of it again. I mean, I don't even remember him from getting knocked down so much. And as far as Mataguba gave him the fight of his life. The guy had his tongue out. He looked like a bloodhound at the 12th round when he fought Mataguba. And then Gamboa comes in there and cleans the floor with Mataguba. I mean, there's no comparison. And if Adrian Broner...
But that's also, you got to look at the facts of those, though. Juanma moved up in weight right after that. And he's still having weight issues at this new weight class. I think that says a lot. Plus, you look at Mataguba's last few fights, they were wars. He had a ton of wars on him and was aging. Heading into that Juanma fight, which was yet another war where he took a lot of shots, and then Gamboa got him. You can make the argument that Gamboa got him at the right time. I mean,
I think he got him at the right time.
I don't subscribe to the idea that A beats B, so then we can say this guy beat that guy, and so he's therefore better. The styles we fight, they're very different styles. I still think that I would give the edge to Gamboa, just based on recent history. But I don't certainly look at it that way and say, look at the way he ran right through. If Gamboa had blown out Mataguba first and then Juanma struggled with the guy, then I would agree with that. But Juanma beat him first, put him through a war, put a lot of miles on him, on a guy that already had a lot of miles. So to me, the next guy that got him, maybe he's just getting him at the right time. I always kind of look at the guy that did it first as having done it a little bit better. It's like guys looking at Oscar's career and saying, well, he didn't struggle as much with, Campos, or, he blew out Mayorga a little bit easier than Oscar than Trinidad did. Yeah, but Trinidad did it first. And
right.
First is always best to me. I agree with you, though. I think Gamboa was going to be the guy to get him. Just look at the styles. Speed, power. He's just chinny, and that's what makes...
But that's what makes him
there.
Exciting, though. That's what makes Gamboa so exciting. My whole thing is that once it really carries a certain power that you really don't think he has, because the way he throws punches, you know what I mean? Where Gamboa is awkward in his own right, but they're more straight. They're more down the pipe. But he does tend to widen up a little bit when he gets kind of hot in the pocket. Fonse, he's just kind of hard to time. And I think, what's his name? Broner? He could attest to that in terms of he had somebody in front of him. He thought, I can about outbox this guy because I got straighter punches. I'm quicker. I'm a more fluent fighter. And we saw what happened. I'm saying, Fonse, don't take that away from him. The guy has improved since getting knocked out from Juanma Lopez. I mean, if this fight would have happened after Juanma knocked him out, I would say, yeah, man, I think it would be a real easy fight for Gamboa. It's a shit fight. But to tell you the truth, just because of progress and the new training camp, and you've seen new things out of his arsenal, I'm saying this is a real fight. This is a good fight. And this is a great, excellent test for Gamboa. This, to me, is far more a bigger threat than anybody's faced by far right now in his career.
Well, I'll just say this. Look for me to be calling in to Gloat when he wins, because no matter, even though you guys don't agree with this guy fought that guy, it's still proof in the pudding.
You and can't gloat. Hey, GTO, you can't gloat when we're picking the same dude, though.
No, but you guys are picking him, but it's you're still giving Ponce de Leon a chance. I'm not giving him a chance because Adrian Broner outboxed him. You cannot compare Adrian Broner.
I don't agree with that.
No, Adrian Broner
won that
fight. Come on.
I didn't think Broner won that fight. I didn't think he won that fight.
He did not
I was there.
Win that at all. He got his ass outboxed in that fight. He knows
it. Yeah, I was there, dude. I don't know anybody that was on press row except for maybe like one or two guys that thought that Broner clearly won that fight. I mean, his stock dropped. I mean, the fact that he's without Heyman is the reason he's going to be on HBO again.
He did a great job going in with Litzel. I mean, yeah, that was impressive. But with Fonse, man, he had a lot of problems with him.
My point is this, that Gamboa is a way better, more experienced boxer than Broner. By far. I just don't see him giving problems. I mean, the whole purpose of me calling in anyway was to say about the Donaire and Gamboa fight. But,
right.
You know, you guys said that what he has in front of him, you know, it's a test, so we shouldn't be thinking that far ahead. But I definitely am. I'm high on Gamboa. I like the fact that...
I say we shouldn't be thinking about it. I'll tell you two reasons. One, because of the first thing we talked about. Okay? Two is... We all know Dornier. Dornier thinks he's a much bigger star than what he is right now. Who cares what Eric Goldman says or Golden Boy? It's what Dornier's going to do. I mean, is he going to price himself into the fight or out of the fight? That's what I'm wondering. You know, Dornier, I mean, he did a fantastic job against Fernando Montiel. But what happened after that? He jumped ship. When he already had things lined up for himself. I just say, let's wait and see what happens. Dornier's got a lot of his mind right now.
He was pretty active on Twitter as far as the conversation today. I brought it up and mentioned his name, and he immediately responded. I said something around the lines of, does anyone, any of the boxing heads think that Gamboa can solve the puzzle of Donaire? And he immediately said no, and that he's willing to take that fight. But, of course, you know, money is always going to be an issue.
I was going to say, money is always an issue with these guys nowadays.
I'm not gonna talk like I'm ignorant and don't know that boxing is full of fucking politics. But
it's sad, man. You know what I mean? Like, cause guys like us, we want that would be a great fight. But it's sad,
yeah.
You know. You hear one thing from these guys, and that's why I say that this should be like a ban button on Twitter or on Facebook for some of these fighters. You know, that talk all this heat, and then when the burner turns is red hot, guess what? They don't want to boil. I say turn the shit off on them, take it away from them, ban their fingers to do any talking anymore, because it only hypes up us particular fighters. We've been disappointed too many times. Take it old school. Let it happen the way it used to happen back in the days.
So the last thing I want to say and basically ask would be for Gabe, because I know he's very experienced, is to take a little bit of time from the show to just enlighten fans like myself that don't know much about this guy Berto's fighting. I mean, I've seen him always. He's been on the ring ratings forever, but we've never seen him. I mean, unless you go searching him on YouTube, you're not really going to see this guy fight. And unfortunately, even though I consider myself a hardcore boxing fan, I've never seen him fight. So before I make a pick, I want to know just how good he is. Even though whether he's not good or not, I really don't want Bertho to win either way anyway. I want him to lose again and lose bad.
Hey,
because,
bro,
you know,
you're not the only hardcore fan. Me and Gabe had it. We had to get on YouTube to watch this guy to see what this guy was all about. You weren't the only one. I think the only guy that honestly knew about this dude was Lou DiBella. And that's because he had to sell the fight to us.
I've watched a few of his fights. You can go to, I believe Sweet Boxing has a bunch of, sweetboxing.com. They should have a bunch of Jan Zavec fights. They usually have a pretty extensive collection of guys' careers. I got his fights through somebody else, like 2 or 3. And you know, he's 35 years old. He's 5'8". He's got decent speed, but he's not exactly. I wouldn't call him that dangerous. I think his style is going to make it an exciting fight. I don't think his style is going to be dangerous to Berto. He kind of fights with a little bit of that shell defense, kind of like an Arthur Abraham coming forward behind it, and then he lets his combinations go. Although offensively, he's a little more aggressive, and he will lead as opposed to just wait to counter. You know, he's had some good wins. He's defended the belt, I think, 3 times. But he's got kind of slow feet. And his head, the big thing for me is his head doesn't move a lot. It's very stationary. I mean, Berto's is too.
You know,
but we'll see. Berto changed things up a little bit. But I expect Berto to win. I just think it's going to be an exciting fight until it's over.
Gabe, with that, I was watching them too, and the same thing. His head doesn't move. The power's decent. I mean, he had some TKOs just of recent, but that slow feet and no head movement, it's almost a pattern for Berto. Like if you look at Hernandez, the same type of similarities. Just that Jan kind of brings more youth, not in age, but into his skills. So yeah, I kind of see an action fight for a few rounds, but Berto being victorious. That's if Berto doesn't come in now with a damaged chin or questioning his own chin or his own resilience coming into this fight. But I think it's just a Berto night, man. And tell you the truth, I'm like a lot of the guys that are on Twitter right now. We're talking about DVR it because I'm just not going to watch it live, man. I just don't think it's that worthy of it right now.
I think it's going to be good enough to watch live. I mean, I think it's going to be an action fight. I mean, that's the thing. People dog Berto, or they're critical of him. For me, you know, I'm critical of him being on HBO so many times against guys that were no hopers. But the one thing I won't say about Andre Berto is that he's boring, because he isn't. You know, his fights are generally action fights. He just came off a Fight of the Year candidate, so I'm curious to see one what is left. You know, is he damaged from that loss mentally? Two, I'm very curious to see the effect that Victor Conte has had on him. Victor Conte and Remy Korchemny are working up there, you know, with Snack, which is the name of the company. They've taken him under their wing and have reconditioned him and really taught him about how to get in shape. I'm very curious to see that.
And he's been working out of the Undisputed Gym in San Carlos and going out to the King's Gym in Oakland and working along with Virgil Hunter, head trainer of Fungi War.
What's that
going to
do for him, you know?
Am I the only guy that's upset that this fight was proposed about a year ago and HBO denied it because he was supposedly not a good enough fighter to be on HBO air and the fans didn't know him? And it could have been a unification back then, and now all of a sudden we have this fight being served up to us as a redemption card. I mean,
that is the beauty of Al Haymon. A year ago, you know, it's like what Lou DiBella said. You know, the belts don't matter until they do. And a year ago, you know, Berto was going to fight this guy, and in a lot of ways, I think HBO looked at him as like an easy touch. And on top of it, nobody knows who he is. And, you know, Lou can say name recognition is bullshit and no one needs to know these guys. That's all promoter bullshit. I think that we should know who these people are. When you get to HBO, it's like being on Broadway.
We've heard him cheerlead cheerlead on the other side of the green when it's not his fighter about name recognition. You know what I mean?
I think it comes down to Berto needs a belt in order to justify fighting who he fights on that network. And the belts do matter. You do need a belt to make a little bit more money, to justify your salary, particularly when it's inflated, like a lot of Al Haymon fighters' salaries are. They got to get him that belt. And then hopefully, if he gets the belt, and whoever comes out of Ortiz Mayweather, the winner, or Manny Pacquiao and Marquez, whoever has that winner, then you've got another guy that has a belt that's an American fighter, that we can do a unification. I think that's what it's all about, is just kind of positioning leverage with the belt. But it also could be this. Berto gets that belt, and he goes right back to the Miss Mandatories and starts fighting the usual suspects like he was before, or in his case, the unusual suspects on HBO.
Where does he go from there, though? I mean, if you think about it, where does he go? There's not a whole lot of welterweights for him to pick across. I mean, does he sit back and wait for the winner of Ortiz and rematch with Ortiz, or the winner, which is with Floyd Mayweather? I mean, that's the thing that kind of sits there and says, okay, what is the agenda for Al Haymon and HBO? You know, I don't know. GTO,
well,
I gotta put you on hold, brother, because we got some other callers. But thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you, man.
Was that
there, to answer your question, Dave? The mandatory was actually to Jan Zavik was Randall Bailey. He took step-aside money, and he's promoted by Lou DiBella. I would imagine that the winner of Zavik, Berto, is going to fight Randall Bailey.
Bailey, right.
That's probably where they go next as an interim. Because you got to figure, when Floyd beats or knocks out Victor Ortiz, as I expect him to in round 11. When Mayweather knocks out Ortiz in round 11, he's going to go on vacation. He's going to take his time. He may look at the Pacquiao fight. He may look at something else. He'll probably just take a long retirement or a mini retirement while he deals with his court cases. And then he'll come back and figure out who he wants to fight next. It'll probably be Abner Morris, have him move up from bantamweight to welterweight. So I think in the interim, Berto's going to have to be busy. So it stands to reason that he's going to fight the mandatory, which is Randall Bailey, and that's what'll happen. That's an interesting fight. I always like watching Randall fight.
I like Randall. I mean, he's got great power, but come on, Randall Bailey,
40 pounder. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just let's try again. Let's try CT, because I don't want him to think that we're skipping him. We're going down the line. CT, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here now. I'm sorry. My phone was kind of messed up before.
It's all good, man. You got a Metro? Is that what happened? Don't worry about it, dog. Hey, we have all been there, CT. Don't even trip, dog. We've all been there. Metro, and then you move up, man. It's all good. What's on your mind, man?
I think it's going to be... It's going to be a tough fight for Berto. I saw a couple of fights of the Zavik guy, but
right.
On YouTube and stuff. The reason why I'm saying is because he's kind of a come-forward fighter, and I think people are going to see a little bit of the blueprint that Ortiz kind of did, kind of pressure Berto, kind of push him back a little bit, because he's physically, built, but he's not a physical fighter to me. He's more of a hand-speed type fighter. And I think this guy's just going to pressure him, with that said, I'm still picking Berto because of his hand speed and stuff. And this guy, and Zavik...
And his uppercut.
His uppercut is real good. But I don't think Zavik fights too good backing up himself. So, I mean, it can go both ways. But I'm picking Berto to win, but I think it's going to be a tough, tough fight. Because he's also had a fight that he just was in a war. So I want to see what it does to him mentally, too.
With Jan Zabe, I expect him to really honestly test Berto to see whether or not if there's any left of the sensation out of him. And I think he's going to have success. But I think Berto is just going to be one of those guys that, what we expected, we expected specialness to come out of him. It's just going to be special parts that are going to happen. Just like we saw with Ortiz. He struggled, but there were still some special moments and special parts about him. You know, he was still fighting to stay alive. He was still fighting for his title. With Jan, it's going to be the same thing. The only thing is that Jan may not have that extra special to keep up with him. But we're going to see Jan expose a Berto of maybe being chipped away of what could have been a great fighter, but waited too long because he liked to do a little bit too much of the soft touch, too much of the pick and choose, too much of listening to the manager and looking over the shoulder. I expect Jan to give him a good fight, but I expect that Jan's going to go, look, this is starting to be easy, and he's been having some success on his TKOs, so he's going to press for it. And I think that's going to be his downfall because the speed of Berto and even the shoulders and the back span of him, I think it's going to be the big toll. And then you're going to see that special moment that he has to dig deep. Not the special fighter, but the special moment of surviving. That's what I expect out of Berto.
Oh, yeah. And he does have heart, too. I mean, like, he took some punishment. It was still, like, you know, he had the two knockdowns and stuff like that. So he's a pretty tough fighter, but I just think, I don't know. I don't know if something was taken out of him mentally from that fight or whatever, but we'll see Saturday. Is there an undercard fight? I heard it was, like, Gary Russell was supposed to be on the undercard, but I'm not sure.
Gary Russell? Gary Russell's on that card.
On that card, but hey, did they come up with an opponent already, right?
I actually turned down the fight. They eventually settled on Leonil Miranda. He's 32 wins, 30 knockouts, 3 losses.
Wow.
One of them by knockout. He's 28 years old. He's a guy. You know, he's going to give you some rounds. He arguably beat. I don't know if you guys remember this fight. It was on Showbox. Louis Franco. It was like back in February. Arguably won that fight. Didn't get the win. Lost by a split decision. He's going to lose, but he's going to be a guy that's going to be there and get up in Gary's grill. I actually think it's kind of a decent fight in terms of testing Gary. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to get knocked out in 9 punches and just blown out of there. But the thing that I found strange about it we talked a lot about this on Max Boxing, and Steve in particular talked a lot about it, was when's the last time you saw a fighter 2 weeks out from his fight on HBO without an opponent, and the fight still went? And again, I don't knock the guy's hustle because he's arguably the best manager in the sport, next to maybe Cameron Duncan. I would give the edge to Mr. Al Haymon because he's got such an in at HBO, apparently. But he's the advisor to Gary Russell. He was able to make this happen, get a last-minute opponent. You see a lot of last-minute opponents on ESPN. You don't see a lot of last-minute opponents, if any, on HBO in a co-feature. I found that very, very strange. And I think that answered the question that once Ross Greenberg got fired, would we see the end of Al Haymon's influence? Well, I guess the answer is no. Because we saw this, you know. So I think it'll be an entertaining fight. I really like Gary Russell. I think he's the truth. But I think we'll get a little bit of a test here. I think this guy will go some rounds, if not the distance. If Gary can get him out of there and blow him out, I actually would be kind of impressed.
Yeah, I want to see him, like I said before, almost a month ago, I want to see him fight Mikey Garcia or something like that next if he wins.
You know what? A lot of people have been asking about that, you know, about him and seeing Gary Russell and Mikey Garcia. You know what, man? I got to say, you know what? I want to see that, but not right away. I'm thinking like 2 years from now.
That's the thing. The kid's only got – he doesn't even have 20 fights.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little
too soon.
It's a little
soon. It's really too soon, you know?
See, look at Mikey's last few fights, and they've been really like tests. You know, each one has been, you look at him and go, oh, well, he was supposed to win. But each one was supposed to kind of emphasize a different part of his game. You know, I think going back to the Tomas Villa fight, which I don't think anybody expected him to blow him out in one round. Then the Cornelius Locke fight, that's a tough style. That guy gave Ponce de Leon a lot of trouble. He's kind of a gatekeeper type guy, and he stopped him in 11 rounds. The Lansky fight was impressive just for how efficient Garcia was. And then the Remillard fight, fighting a guy that's undefeated and stopping him the way that he did. I mean, he really, really impressed me in that fight. And the Guzman fight was just kind of
let's introduce you to the people kind of a fight, and that was just a quick blowout. But each one of them was a little bit of a test and a little bit of a showcase at the same time, and Garcia passed all those. I haven't seen Gary. I think this would probably be his first fight like that, where you're fighting a guy. Maybe the Eric Estrada fight was a little bit tougher guy, but he's entering that period that Garcia just left. I don't think this fight's quite ready, but down the line, 2 years from now, a year and a half from now, hell yeah. I definitely want
yeah.
to see that fight.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be a great, great fight. CT, thank you, bro. I'm going to put you back on hold because we got a lot of calls today. And, hey, appreciate you calling in, man.
Only 15 minutes. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No, we actually have like an hour and 13 minutes because I didn't know how long we were going to go today. You know, because so I figured we robbed everybody of an hour of leaving in the ring.
We could give it right back.
We could give it right back. But and it depends, you know. It depends on and if we do have enough to talk about and stuff. Hey, let's put on.
What you're saying is we're on our time at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, stuff. So we can talk about anything here on Leaving the Ring, except MMA or football or baseball or basketball or anything else and stuff. And let me tell you something, man, because I've been getting some little hate mail here about me talking about baseball. I'm not talking about baseball. My youngest son is a baseball fan. He's a Giants fan. So I've said this before. I'm trying to enjoy what he likes. Though I'm trying to convert him to the boxing head side, to the leaving the ring side. I'm trying to get him to come over our side so he could see the light. Right now he's in the dark. Let's get him over to the light. But we got to, you know,
bad parenting right there.
Yeah.
It's bad parenting. Baseball.
You actually,
somebody that's from Sweet Boxing just tweeted at me, Obama over there who runs the Sweet Boxing site. Jan Zavik has his own career thread on Sweet Boxing. So no need to search. It's just right there. They do a nice feature every time they're leading into a big fight. In their forum for their downloads, they'll pin the careers of both big-time fighters that are fighting each other that week. So you can go right in there in the download section. You just got to register for their forum, which doesn't cost you anything. And boom, there it is. You can download all of Jan Zavik's fights and watch them. It's kind of funny to me. Yeah, Street Boxing's great, man. They've gotten me out of some jams. It's kind of funny, though. You look at a fighter like this, and I remember Floyd when I asked him about Cotto right before he was going to fight Hatton, and he said, Cotto's just a regional fighter. And I wonder now the way the Internet has changed, if we're ever going to hear a fighter say, oh, man, that guy's just a YouTube fighter. His fights, you can only fight him on YouTube. I'm not going to fight him.
What I'm wondering is, what is Floyd and Ortiz right now? Because what I'm hearing through the grapevine, and we were talking about this a little earlier, and I haven't really got it completely confirmed, but what I'm hearing is that half the tickets have not even really been sold for their fight. So what does
that
mean about Floyd Mayweather, you know, Junior, where a lot of his cheerleaders have all said, oh no, Floyd doesn't need he didn't need Oscar De La Hoya to sell it out. He didn't need Hatton. Got Victor Ortiz, not a big name, and it's struggling. I'm hearing
well,
it's struggling with bad right now.
Mosley fight didn't sell out. I don't believe the Marquez fight sold out. He does great pay-per-view numbers. He's kind of an anomaly in that. He's not a physical draw, but in terms of TV, he does very well. This fight, I've heard, you know, the same thing.
But this time around,
he's been off for a while.
Yeah, he
has to hold out of the public consciousness. You know, that's the thing. And on top of that, you got to wonder, you know, I guess, you know, going along with that, is what did that layoff do for him? Did it, you know, there was that period where they went to the first negotiations with Pacquiao, man, and everybody and their brother would ask me about that fight. I had people, that was when I was still working a day job. I worked at this hotel, and I remember, like, the accountant guy who, we talked fights every once in a while, you know, he knew
right.
that I wrote about boxing. But he would bug me all the time, and it was kind of a random guy. I'd have girls saying, when are they going to fight? I don't hear people talk about, you know, when they find out what I do, like I go to, you know, to like my local bar out here and have a beer, people don't, and they find out, you know, this is what I do for a living. I don't really get asked about Floyd that much anymore, and I wonder if that layoff that did it to him. But you know, I think it's a really big telling a really big sign that, you know, right after they got on the got into training camp, Floyd had a media day where everybody was able to come and watch him do an open workout.
Exactly.
Well, that was only a few weeks ago, and next week they're going to have another media day where he's going to have an open workout. And they're really pushing this fight and getting people to write stories as much as they can to drum up interest on this thing. They had Victor on CNN with Oscar yesterday, really pushing this thing. And it makes me wonder, like, I know, it makes me wonder, Gwen or Gwenda, but it makes me wonder if they, you know, I mean, it doesn't make me wonder, it kind of confirms to me that this fight isn't doing quite as well as they'd like you to think, and that's not a diss on the fight, but it, like you said,
I think it's a great fight, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
I guess the whole world has not seen that.
Yeah, without a solid B-side, Floyd maybe not be quite the draw we thought. That said, I still think it's going to do good pay-per-view numbers. I just wonder, is it going to be in the same realm? Is it going to be 900,000? Is it going to be a million? Or is it going to be a nice, respectable 750? You know, we'll see.
Going back to the Marquez pay-per-view, you gotta admit, the Marquez was, you have a whole country behind him. And that's what Mayweather was even saying. He even said himself, when you have a whole country backing you up, the numbers are going to be good. Ortiz doesn't have a whole country. He has a whole state, maybe, or a city. Man, let's patch with some other fight fans. They've been on hold patiently. They've been very patient about doing it and appreciative and stuff. Let's get on. Hey, our man Carcino. Let's talk to him for a little bit.
Really?
What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving Ring. What's on your mind?
Oh, wow. Let me try to answer some questions for you guys that I had up there earlier that you were bringing out. Victor Ortiz, drug testing started 6 weeks ago. He had to do it immediately after the press conference. That's
you
part
were there?
Of the terms and conditions of the contract.
You were there? You were there?
I knew that.
Oh.
I knew
well,
that.
I didn't know that.
July 1st until right after the fight. Actually, Richard Schaefer told me that there's a clause where they have to keep going 2 weeks after the fight, something like that. What we don't know is what tests they're doing. What we don't
and
know
we don't
is
know
if
they've been skipped. Yeah, have they missed or skipped one?
I do know that he's taken all of his tests, and all of his tests have passed. That's all I know.
He told me that. I know that because he told me that. Yeah, but we don't actually know that.
Yeah, you don't know that. And you don't know that.
Rolando and himself, and so that's the only news I can tell you on that.
So you don't
know. Well, Carcino, you don't know this, but the rules of confirmation are three separate independent sources. So finding it out from the fighter and his manager doesn't really mean anything.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to bring that up because it brought up when the question was up. So I said, well, let me bring that up.
It wasn't a question. It was the question we asked him.
I didn't get a response, so I said, well, let me just bring that out there. So I didn't know if you knew that or not because, like I said, I listened to the show. I didn't hear that response come out. So that's why I brought it up.
We don't know when the tests are, we just don't know, and
what started that situation was when Senior, they don't show it on HBO because they cut away, because basically the show was pretty much wrapping and they were going to wrap their cameras up and go. They had already shot their footage, but an argument ensued when it came into play when Floyd Sr. was saying to Floyd, it was almost like a joking thing, but he was serious. It was like, I made you. You know, I'm the guy that made you. And Floyd's like, nobody make me but me. And then he said some things that got Floyd really upset that I can't even repeat. But no one got that on tape, pretty much. Only the people who were there saw it live. And it went from that point, and he went to the point that Roger traded him. And it went from there, and then the ref we saw on television, and they kind of edited it, but that's what really started it. So when he told Floyd that I'm the one that made you, not Roger. And that's what really got it going to the point where everybody started getting really frustrated. So, but as of right now, it's supposed to, all the flames are cool, but they're still not talking to each other, but that's not relevant. I mean, that was a bad... It was a bad look for television. I mean, HBO in general. It really just took away the whole life of the show 24/7. It looked just like a reality show instead of a boxing
program. It is a reality show. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I've watched them film that show in multiple locations. I've seen them do 20 takes of Freddie Roach getting out of his car and walking up the stairs.
I was there when they did the Oscar De La Hoya Manny Pacquiao, and they told Manny 5 different times how to walk through the door.
I've actually watched them do sparring sessions where there's actually no sparring going on, and they're just filming Freddie and Alex watching one of their assistants move around the ring while the camera just films Freddie and Alex Ariza. And then later on, when they film the sparring or Manny working out, then they edit it together like it's all happening at the same time. There's
you know what
reality
I thought
about
that
show.
You know what I
worked on a reality show, and you watch it, and it's very crafted and it's very scripted.
You know what's funny is that when Manny one time was sparring, they actually put 3 different days, 3 different separate days, they were a spread apart in a one day, and made it seem like it happened that one particular day when it never did. The same thing with Margarito when they did the Margarito thing, you know.
Yeah. There's nothing real about it. I mean, I think maybe the way he treats his dad or talks to him, that might have been the most real thing they've ever put on 24/7. To me, when you know the cameras are on you, maybe you just don't act that way. Personally, I don't think you should act that way, period. But, again, it's a quote-unquote reality show. I think people are just pigs at the trough eating at this stuff. It has no bearing on the fight. It has no bearing on anything.
Whatsoever.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't really need to be shown. But getting back to the drug testing thing that you were trying to illuminate us on, the real question is, and I'm glad that you mentioned that they know when the testing is, because that's really the key. The fact that Floyd knows from July 1st till the day of the fight, or maybe a week or so after, that's when I'm going to be tested. Any person that knows anything about drug testing, from Victor Conte to Dr. Margaret Goodman, any of the experts that I've talked to, some on and off the record that I won't name, will tell you the number
you
one thing that a cheater needs to know is what the window is.
Yep.
And that's why I call this Mayweather testing. It's not WADA testing. It's not Olympic-style testing. It's been ordered up by a specific individual. It's been tailor-made to fit their specifications. And no one will tell us what they are.
And Victor has said it on leaving the ring. It's very easy to cheat the Olympic testing. There's ways to go around it, just with dates. Not even with dates alone. There's windows that you can find to do it. And if you know how to do it, and he even mentioned himself, I know how to do it. You can get away with it.
It's not cheating the test in general. It's the randomness of the test.
There's
now,
no
you might have a window from
test.
When it starts
there,
and when
there
it
is,
ends. But in
there is no randomness.
When you know when the window begins. Hang on a second. When you know it's July 1st to September 17th or a week after that, then it ceases to become random. What is random is, and I've talked to athletes that have been in the WADA program as amateurs, what's random is the way they do it, which is unannounced. You don't know when they're coming, and it's 365 days, 24/7. They can get you in or out of competition. Now, what was Floyd doing during that whole retirement? Because I've asked Victor Conte, and I've asked several other experts, can you juice, quote-unquote, or use PEDs to enhance your body, to alter your performance, out of competition, cycle off in your training camp, and then still maintain the benefits? And the answer was 100% absolutely.
And actually, you get 100% better results when you're off training camp and you decide to sit back. He said that. He has said
here's the other thing.
Well,
then
he should have no problem taking the test.
Well,
that's the case. He should have been signed up.
Let me make one more point to that, he should have no problem taking the test. In my opinion, Floyd should have had no problem with the 24 or 14-day cutoff, and here's why. And actually, I know the people that advised Floyd about the window and told him, I know this for a fact, they told him if they ask for 24 days or 14 days, then he's not juicing and you should be fine. You can take the fight. Because when you're using PEDs, particularly EPO, you want to cycle off about 3 weeks out from whatever competition you're going to be in. It thickens the blood, and you want your blood to thin out a little bit. So you have to taper off of the drug in order to for it to be effective.
To be effective.
So if he's willing to be tested up till the time of 24 days, which is when you would start getting off of the EPO, then you know he's not doing anything, because that's the time that he would be doing something. And Floyd still decided, I'm not going to do the fight. So you tell me what the reason was.
Because he could have cycled off. They've interviewed plenty of people who took the test, and they had a far team in the place to make them
reality,
14 days.
And faced with
facts,
you always just go, well, reality be damned. Let me just go back into my own fantasy world. That's absolutely fantasy. Because he could cycle off in the beginning of training camp, but more often than not,
you could cycle off within 14 days of
the
fight.
But here's the other thing that you completely are ignoring: if you can miss tests, and say you're taking testosterone, or you're taking HGH, when HGH would be something that a fighter would use to heal, particularly after the age of 28. Anybody under that is probably not going to use HGH. It isn't really that beneficial to you. You don't really need it. But testosterone and HGH after age 28, and Floyd's 34, I believe Manny's 32, those would definitely be drugs that you'd be using. And I would throw EPO in that mix.
You can use that at any age.
Hang on, let me finish my point.
Okay, go ahead.
If you're using that during the testing, depending on how you take testosterone, if you put that underneath the skin, you can get that out of your system in 6 to 10 hours. So let's say that they can miss a test, and there's no ramifications because they don't tell anybody about it. There's no penalty to it. You find out you're going to be tested. You say, you know what, I can't test. I got to go fix my car. You can flush your system in 6 to 10 hours, come back 3 days later, take that test, and boom, you're clean. You can juice any time during the testing. That's why it's so important to find out exactly what they are. And here's another question that I have. What kind of testing are they doing? Are they doing the standard WADA EPO EPO testing, or are they using that in conjunction with the carbon isotope ratio testing, which is able to determine what kind of testosterone that you're using? Are you using testosterone that comes from your body, or are you taking it in from some other source? Only carbon isotope ratio testing can tell you that. And as far as I know, WADA doesn't use it. So I'm curious about this Mayweather Streamline or TaylorMade testing. Are they using that? And I find it very curious that no one will answer these questions. People will defend, and they'll talk about all this random shit about Manny and you know, talking about him, but nobody wants to look at these tests and actually delve deeper and actually ask educated questions about the testing. Most people are just going to go off of, you know, what they get off the internet instead of
what they read and what they hear. Yeah, from the other side of the camp.
There's so many ways to get around these tests, and when you know the window, that's step one to getting around it. Everything else, you know, we don't know because they won't answer the questions.
The other thing, too,
you know,
is that the question
I like
about
the randomness
missing
of it, because the fighters don't know when someone is coming to test them within the fight.
We actually don't know that, because there's two styles of doing that. There's announced testing, and then there's unannounced testing.
That's
now,
right.
Announced testing would be, they let you know, we're going to be heading over to your gym at such and such a time. Now, unannounced testing is they just show up. We don't know which one it is. Nobody will answer that question. So,
well, you have
again,
to give them the
word.
That's within effect for the Mosley fight. They had unannounced testing during the Mosley fight.
But how random and unannounced is it when you know the window? It isn't. You can't use the word random. Random is, I've signed up for a program where you're going to test me 365, 24/7, in and out of competition. Not random.
It is random.
From this date to this date. No, it's not random. There's nothing random about
random
knowing the window. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. Go get a dictionary, because apparently you don't know what the meaning of the word random is.
Yes, I
random.
Know random. Random means you don't know. It could come at
right.
any moment in time. Now, okay,
so
say
let me ask
coming
you
to break
then,
into
okay,
your
cool.
home,
let me ask
and you know
this,
he can't break
what,
into
what
your
is,
home to after the
exactly.
fight is done.
You're
okay, now wait a minute. In
know,
between those dates,
no,
he can
is,
come in your home and break into your home. You don't know which one he comes in. That's random. I don't care
not
what day
break into
is.
Your home for one. That's just ridiculous. But you just said it yourself. They know when the testing is. July 1st, to the date of the fight, maybe a week or two after. What's random
about? No, that's the period within the testing is going to be done. Who cares what he does after the fight is over? You're caring about what's going on.
Well,
while
what I'm more concerned about is what happens all during that period where he's not in training camp and when he's not being tested.
Who cares?
That's
his life.
That's a completely ignorant and uneducated answer to say
no,
who cares. Yes, it is.
It
clearly shows that you don't know anything about boxing.
When you're not signed to fight them, it's their own business. If you're not signing a contract to fight
why even do testing then?
When you sign a contract to fight somebody, then y'all want to do the testing, then that's fine. But
Mayweather said, clean up our sport.
Did you miss the part where I said that most juicing happens out of competition?
Yeah,
that's what you said.
And that's what I was saying.
And I'm comfortable with blood in your intestine during the training camps of the fight. So whatever they were doing, it should be picked up with blood and urine. If they can beat it, they've beaten it. But I'm comfortable with blood in your intestine.
Of course you are, because you support Floyd Mayweather. You're a Mayweather
fan.
It's
not about that.
This has nothing to do with Mayweather.
It has something to do with cleaning up.
I'm sorry, but if you're not about cleaning up the sport, Garcinio.
You said, I don't care if they take the test while they're not training. But a lot of fighters, they do train when they don't have a fight. So we got to care about. If we're going to talk about cleaning up the sport, we got to talk about every year. I mean, look, if they're going to do that to NFL and they're going to do that to baseball, blah, 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 you got to do it to boxing. You know, because these are the periods when they do stuff.
Floyd Mayweather. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That lies with a commission. You got to tell them. Who does the out of state when they're not training? They go and they have to take their usual test, their urine test.
Wait a second. If he's taking the step to clean up the sport and he's basically saying I'm doing it by example, then why hasn't he signed up with WADA's program, which is very much available to him, to sign up for 365 days, 24/7? That's their normal program. Why? You know, everybody gets mad about Manny and the cutoff date. Floyd's got a cutoff date, his training camp. Why doesn't he want to be tested 365, 24/7? What's he got to hide? Is he not afraid of needles during training camp, but afraid of them out of it?
No.
What's the problem?
Maybe it doesn't deem it necessary.
Well, anybody that knows anything about juicing and PEDs knows that it is. Sorry, but they do. It's a fact.
Well,
most people do out of competition.
I'm in favor of the person that is willing to take drug tests as opposed to a guy who's coming up with excuses not to take drug tests. That's just the way I look at it.
Exactly.
People who
You're
have problems with drug tests are normally drug users. I've never seen it no other way. I've never seen
of course,
people...
If the shoe was on the other foot, you'd be defending Floyd's right not to test. Of course, I'm not a good guy.
I mean, trust me, no one really cares unless a fight is made what another fighter is really doing.
That goes back to you don't care about the sport. You care about that.
It's not about not caring about the sport.
Yes, Carson, you just said it right now.
You're contradicting yourself.
You're saying it's
so
okay.
Let me not do it the right way.
Come on, man.
Okay, so let me get this. Okay, Gabe, you would take the risk of taking something. If you know when the test starts and then you know it ends 2 weeks after the fight, so you figure you know all the dates, you would risk take something within those training camps? Would you risk taking anything?
Yeah.
Well, then
let me answer the question. If I had two get out of jail free cards, two missed tests that no one's going to know about, that I don't lose any money on, absolutely.
That was the question we were asking, though, Carcinio.
Oh, okay.
Just go to the Mosley test. Has he skipped one?
And even that, like if I was taking testosterone, which would be the thing that I would be taking because that would benefit me most, or maybe even EPO because there's certain ways that you can blood dope and get it out of your system within 24 hours. You're absolutely right. They take my blood and urine. They're probably not coming back the next day. Probably not even for 2-3 days. That's That's the information I've gotten from several, you know, Olympic athletes, several guys that have been involved in the testing. They don't do it every day. And what's even more, when you miss that test, they generally come back like a week later. So, yeah, I piss, I take my blood, boom. I put a testosterone patch or I put it underneath my skin or I inject it or take it in through drops, all of which you can get out of your system very, very fast with a 24-hour window. You're goddamn right I'm going to juice. If I'm that smart and I know how to do it, I'm doing the right things, yeah, I'm going to game the system.
Yeah,
of course
you
I am.
Try and you will get caught and be suspended.
Nope.
Because that's a random. They could come in while you're dropping. Why you thinking you're taking it? And that's what I like about it.
Not if it's truly underneath the water code. That's the thing.
The way the standard is going right now, it's underneath
the water code, which has an 18-month period, you can miss two tests. No, it's not that random. And, yeah, you can get around it. You can even get around it without those two windows.
Let's go back to the Mosley protocol, since the test was already used during the Mayweather-Mosley. No test was missed, and if you couldn't provide a sample, a representative had to be with you at all times until you were able to feel the blood or urine.
That's what the press release said. But when you
Now it's the press release.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you always go off the press release? Let me ask you this, though, Carcino. Why do you always go off the press release when it's convenient for you, but when
it's not convenient
press
to me.
You've said it on your videos, and you've said it on your forum. I don't believe the media, and the media are liars. Blah, blah, blah. Come on, dude. Come on.
No.
Don't play fake.
I don't know.
I play that
they
shit on you.
They gave you an answer. They gave you an answer. This is what we're doing.
Come on.
But you ignore that to say, I don't know.
You ignore it.
You would rather say, I ignore that and say, I don't know, than rather go to documented fact where they go on record and
documented.
Say, this is
bro,
what happened.
I've seen you on YouTube. That was your headline.
Don't believe the media. You're going off point.
Don't believe the press release.
They went on
don't
record.
Don't believe this.
And
but
said,
all
this
of a sudden, when it conveniences you, you do it all the time. Come on, dude.
Off point, off record, don't mean nothing to the subject. The subject was, what about the testing? Like, what was the protocol for missed days? So you have to go back to when the test was used. The test was used against the Mayweather-Mosley.
He
did not
read.
Miss any days.
But you don't believe what you read, though.
Buy it.
Carcino, why don't you just say, you know what, I said this, I say that. Come on, dog, you're worse than a woman now.
I'm not saying I said this, they said it. They said it. They went on
you're
record.
Funny,
public record. Don't you know?
Public
record.
What did I say
at the beginning?
Hang on a sec. What did I say at the beginning of this, the little journalism lesson I gave you? Three independent sources, that's the way you confirm something. Not what the fighter said, not what one source says, but independent sources that can confirm it. You don't have that. You just have your opinion. You have what your boy told you.
And
what
it's not with my boy. It's on record. It's public record. So everybody would be purged if they go on there and they see the dates where all the testing took place. And so you can say Kaiser's he's just off. I guess he's the media,
too. Are we talking about Kaiser from the commission? Are we talking about Vegas commission? We're talking about one of the most corrupt commissions, right? just like L.A., right? We're talking about right?
Okay,
come
well, all the commissions
on.
Corrupt. We
come
don't
on.
Believe this. Well, we got to print their quotes.
Oh, man.
So
that's why you believe.
We got to use their quotes. We got to use their stats.
Was justified for the bullshit that he pulled. Man, get out of here, dude. I don't believe that shit. You know what, Carcino? I love
you,
man.
You got to believe your own opinion.
I
in
love
your opinion,
you
there's
know,
no, you,
you
can
know,
miss 2 days,
you
love
can
do this and that,
friend,
and there's no, there's no
friend,
such thing.
It's all BS, come on, it's all BS. I love you, man, but you know that I, you know what, bro, if it walks like a duck, it looks like a duck, guess what, it's a duck, you're full of shit. Get out of town. Hey, I'm coming to Vegas, too. I'm coming to Vegas, and you better give me a tour of what's going on over there, because I know you're full of shit.
Now, how you going to say that with the man you thought on 24-7?
I love you, my boy. But I know when you're pulling my leg, and that's it.
I'm not pulling your leg.
Hey,
there
taking off
no
toenails right now,
home.
Homie. My toenails.
Oh, yeah,
I just gave you ramifications of the testing. I answered your question correctly.
You did.
The day I look to you for information is the day Dave has to pull a gun out of my mouth. Seriously.
You look all open to outside information. You know that.
You know, Carcino May, brother, thank you very much, man. Hey, guys, visit the Boxing Socialist, right?
Yeah, please. Do yourself a favor. Don't.
Dave will be writing some over there, so we'll be seeing if he's writing some.
Unlike you, I actually care about people actually reading my stuff, so I'll stay in Max Boxing. Thank you very much.
No, listen. Visit Carcino. He's a good friend of mine. I know sometimes people, trust me. I know Carcino. He's a good dude. He's looking to get underneath your skin. That's what he does. He's the hype man. I got to get him to work for us because this dude can hype up everybody all at once. Hey, Carcino,
I made Gabe famous. That's what I told him. He went from that guy from Leave It in the Ring that's there with Dave to Gabriel Montoya.
Carcino. I got to let in some other guys on the show, brother. Hey, man, it's always a pleasure, bro. I always appreciate it, and I always check out your site. Fantastic site.
Stay delusional, brother. Stay delusional.
Take care, brother. He's like my child. What am I going to do with that? I can't discipline him.
Put him on the short bus and tell him we're losing, Get him a helmet. He seems to be bumping his head into the wall. It's definitely clearly damaged him.
Yeah, Carcino in boxing boarding school, No, I love Carcino, man. He's funny. The thing I like about him is that he's going to argue with you when he knows he's wrong. He's just one of those kind of guys, I don't care if I'm wrong. I'm still going to argue with you. I know I'm wrong, but I'm going to argue with you to the point. But it's always good. You always have to have somebody else's opinion to sit there and argue with you, man. But
Not really.
I know how you feel about it, man.
I just look at him and say, you got opinions, I got facts. I mean, I've worked on this story since the testing issue came up. I know I haven't printed a hell of a lot. That's probably because it's a rabbit hole, and the more I look in, the more I find. But I'm sorry. Go to my Margaret Goodman interviews. One of my Since No One Asked articles where I talk about the blood testing. Or just, go and educate yourself. Go tell Victor Conte is on Twitter. You can ask him questions. I mean, all these things that I brought up, it's like he hears them and he moves on because they're facts that you can't really get around. So you got to create fantasy in order to move on past it. Anybody that doesn't understand carbon isotope, ratio, what that is, all the different types of testing, the windows, there's so much there that we don't know. We just hear Floyd say, well, I'm doing Olympic random testing. I mean, Victor Ortiz didn't even know any of this stuff, and he's taking the test. Why am I going to believe that Carcino knows anything? I mean, Jesus, he's not even, come on. He's like Chardet. He's only got one name. How serious can I take him?
Well, I do know that, the thing about Carcino is that it's hard to take him serious. And I was telling him that. It's really hard. I was telling him on Twitter, and I wasn't meaning to trying to be disrespectful to him because I like the guy.
I was.
But it's really hard because we know that you're a Floyd Mayweather fan, and we know that you've backed him up to a bloodline. I don't know how else to put it. And your videos are the truth. I mean, they've been taken down. They've been put up, whatever the case is. And you've said it. I don't read press releases and I don't read the media because they're all lies. But then you quote media and you quote press releases. And that's what I was trying to get across to him is that that's why it's very difficult to take anything to the truth.
He's skewed things like, the videos he's made about me where he said he schooled me and Steve or I apologize.
Those were edited.
I never did any of that.
Yeah.
They
were edited. And I told them that,
He used my Manny Pacquiao interview and says he's hyped me up. I mean, get the hell out of here, dude. I mean, I work my ass off in this.
Well, we know his agenda. I know
who's helped me along the way, and it ain't Carcino. I'm sorry, but I'm the one sitting here writing the stories. I'm the one that's made my name in this business, and you've helped put
and
me
he could
on
say
radio
different.
Show.
I know
he's
going to say different, but we know Carcino. We know it's him trying to get his name, which is great. Do what you got to do, man. I'm not going to knock another man's hustle. And that's what he's going to do. Like I said right now, he's a guy that likes to start controversial. He's a guy that's going to try to get his name out there, you know. Not – is it good for the sport? Is it for the good of the sport? No. It's the gooder for him and his site. So continue it. I know. I support it. Hey, man. You know, I mean, he supported me from the get-go. So I can't hate on him. But I can't sit here and be blind. I got to be truthful.
For me, I just anybody that kind of you know slanders me like that on YouTube and tries to ride my coattails with a good interview with
and
Pacquiao that I did.
And I've talked to you about that. And you know
I really can't. I really can't support him, and I encourage people to not go to that website because it's the same website that put up Victor Chinian was sick and or had a heart attack, and they had to take the story down. That's kind of the level that they were putting up there. And
I know people that came at him pretty dirty. I know people that came at him pretty dirty, even made a video or were about attempt. One of my very good friends, Blood, was going to do one on him. And I was like, no, just let it go. You know, he's good people. I know where he's coming from. I know what he's doing. And really, and honestly, Gabe, I got to tell you, I'm telling everybody out there, you know, I'm not, you know, protecting him. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying I know him on a different level because I've spoken to him on a different level. And I know that the way he's coming across sometimes is not the most fair. But you talk to the man, then you know, oh, okay, this is where he's coming at. And, that's what I said. You got to give it a chance, and you got to understand, hey, look, this is what he's going to do, and you got to take in what you know is truth and what is not. And a lot of times, and honestly, I got to tell you now, right now, I'm a little confused. I don't know what is in truth with him, and that's what I was telling him. I'm like, hey, bro, I don't know. I mean, right now you're coming at me like a clown. I mean, you're clowning yourself, but is it true? And if he's saying it is, then I got to take it that he is being true about Russell Mora, and that's what the whole conversation in the Twitter was about and stuff, you know. But, hey, it is what it is. But let's talk boxing. Enough with the delusional. I'm just playing.
Yeah. Now, let's talk boxing and back to real boxing.
My boy Rob out of Texas, I believe, or Arizona. I know one of those plus spots with it, the hot spots. You're on live right now and leaving the ring, brother. You want to talk about Nonito, the Flash Dornier. ¿Qué pasó, vato? How you doing, man?
Yeah, San Antonio, Texas. How's it going?
You know what? I got a lot of family there, bro. I got to let you know that, man. So if you talk bad about me, I say, I got a lot of Tejanos out there, bro. They'll hunt you down.
I'm down. Man, I thought the Kid Chocolate Smith thing was bad. Damn, y'all were going off.
we were cussing nobody out, bro. Come on.
Oh yeah. Wait, I mean GTO already touched up. I mean, he pretty much said what I was gonna say. I mean, I agree with him as far as Gamboa, but I think like the last call, he's just taking it too, you know. It's not about the blood testing with Floyd Mayweather. I think he was just trying to find a way to get to Manny, you know, because it's the blood testing. And then now he's saying, well, he can't train in the Philippines. And then the next thing he's going to say, oh, he can't train with Freddie Roach. He's going to come up with something. No, it's not about the blood testing. It's Floyd being Floyd. Just like everybody's taking a step too far with this 24-7. You know, that's just the Mayweather being Mayweather. It's not going
to
affect the fight. That's just the way they are.
Do you think when the fight does happen, is it going to mean as much as it did when it came around the first time? I mean, they're going to be a little older. Manny's probably going to slow down a little bit. Is it the same fight to you as a fan if it happens, say, next year or the year after?
No, actually, that's why I even put a little video up on my Facebook today saying, like, you know, forget that fight. I want to see this Donaire Gamboa fight in the near future. You know what I mean? Because it's already it was bigger after the first fight when they were talking about it. Now the second and third fight, they're on their third opponent. Now it's just like, whatever. You know, it's like you said, they're probably going to slow down.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think the bloom is off the rose. It was never going to be bigger than that moment. And now it's almost like people are like, it's like a backlash. Like, screw it. If you guys fight, like, whatever. I mean, I think people will still watch. It'll be big. But to me, it's not going to be as competitive as it might have been.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean,
ultimately, that's what we want, right?
I think he killed it, man. To tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's just like people walked away from it. But with the Mayweathers, everybody's talking about that 24/7 thing, how crazy it was. But I think that's just another normal week in the Mayweather's. I don't think it's going to affect his performance, affect his outcome. I mean, he runs his camp with iron fist. Everybody was terrified. They didn't want to step in. You know, he's delusional. He's talking about he bounces from telling off his father to, I got my cars paid off. I got my house paid off. I'm like, where's this guy going with this, you know? But it's just whatever, you know. It's the same like watching Jersey Shore, you know what I mean? I mean, I watch that stupid show, but it's the same thing, you know. It's stupid drama.
I know. And watching Ronnie cry all over again over Sammy, you know?
Yeah, and I wish they would skip over, okay, let's go see what Eric Morales is up to since it's a multi-star card. Why don't they go see, okay, let's build up Alvarez. We're here in Alvarez's camp. We're here in Morales' camp. We're talking up the Lopez Vargas fight. You know what I mean? So
that's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
I mean, skip over, because what's it going to be next week? They're going to be talking about Victor Ortiz's catwalk video where his underwear ads or something like that. Some stupid. You know? I just want to see some boxing. I want to see some backstories on the boxing in their camps and all.
Do you think I was wrong not posting up that Victor Ortiz picture on my Facebook? It was on the website, but when Kim Martinez, I don't know if you check out the Leaving the Ring website when she did the fight feed, was I wrong not doing that, man? Because I felt funny about doing it.
No. I think you did a good job of not doing that. That's something like a hyped up website like Yahoo would do. You know what I mean? All they do is fluff, fluff, flare, flare, fluff. It's not like hardcore, you know, digging into the boxing, you know, into the ins and outs. You know what I mean? So I think they did a good job. But
It ended up on the website. But I normally would put up what we put on the website on my Facebook. But I got it. I was like, man, I just don't want to do it. I didn't want to link it. You know what I mean? I was so hesitant, man, just because of the fact that, being Chicano, or even, like, my dad's from Texas. My dad's from Eagle Pass, Texas. And I got a lot of family from San Antonio, from El Paso, and a family from Demi's, New Mexico. And, dude, you know how raza is, man. They'll be like, hey, dude, what's up, bro? You know, and see, you putting that Mexican on your, you know, with the little pantyhose. ¿Qué pasó, vato? You jumping the fence or what? I didn't want to hear that. You know what I mean? Man, I'm not going to do that. And now Oscar, because, you know, I always say, hey, I'm Chicano and this and that. And my older brother, who likes to argue with me, nah, we're not Chicanos, we're Mexicans and this and that. And I would tell him, yo, I know we're Mexican. I'm just saying this is how we identify each other. But he's a little older. And I had him call him and go, hey, cabrón, you still Chicano after Oscar De La Hoya, opened up and stuff.
Yeah, that's how it is. Like my uncles and my aunts, that generation, they all don't like them. They make fun of them. And all the younger ones that, you know, like around my age, you know, some like, some don't, you know what I mean? But I hear you. But I mean, the one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend is that Eloy Perez, I want to see some speedsters. You know, I want to see some speed. I want to see Perez fight. I want to see because I know he fights on Telefortura, I think. And like y'all said, Gary Russell Jr., because I was seeing him, he was on some schedules and he wasn't on some others. So I hope he's still fighting on HBO. Y'all know he's up?
Leo Miranda is who he's fighting.
Yeah,
he will be on it.
Yeah, I mean those are the two I want to see. I mean, Berto is his comeback fight. You know, I think luckily for him, he's got a lot of guys from 140 that are stepping up, like Amir Khan. Bradley's gonna probably step up, and you got all those guys. But I really don't know much about this European guy. I mean, he looked kind of good from what I saw from the YouTube videos and stuff.
No, he's gonna give him a good run. He's gonna give him a good run. Definitely gonna give him a good. I hope he does. You know what I'm saying? But I think the odds is going to go for Berto. And I don't know. I just don't think the guy's going to do. I mean, I think he's going to last for 4 to 5 rounds. And that's going to be the end of that. And then you're going to see Berto find out what he's going to do next. You know, Randall Bailey, or like you said, Amir Khan's moving up. But is there enough money for Amir Khan and Berto? I mean, Amir's not a big draw here in the United States, and neither is Berto. I mean, is Amir going to sit back and go, well, I did it with Zab, nothing happened. Do I want to continue to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see Berto go with a different trainer. I mean, from what his trainer, when they were in that crisis situation with Ortiz, they're like pep guys in the corner. They weren't giving him any instruction. They were just, you're the best, all you can do this and that, crazy stuff. But because he shows he'll battle in a hard fight, and he has some speed and power. He just doesn't box. He fights in spurts, kind of like Adrian Broner. You know what I mean?
The bad thing about it though is this: if you think about this, okay, because even with his trainer right now, he's been fighting subpar opponents. He goes with a new trainer. The ideal thing to do is continue going with subpar opponents. Us boxing heads, we don't want to see that no more. You know what I mean? Are we going to be sensitive that he's finally got somebody that may teach him how to execute what his abilities can do? I don't know. We're going to be that patient. We're not patient now because of the fact that what we've been given from HBO and what we've been given by him and what he's justified. And Lou DeBell. I got to blame Lou, too. Lou, sitting there, he disappointed the shit out of me by justifying what has been given to him. It's like, look, come on. And I was trying to help him out. Gabe, you got to admit, I was trying to help him out. I said, where else was he supposed to go? And he took it offensive. It's like, wow. It's just like, come on, man. So if he goes with a new trainer, guess what? We're still going to be saying the same things. That's the dilemma that Berto has. But you're right. He should go with a new trainer, should get some new advice on what he should do. But is it going to get him out of the hot seat? No. It's not going to cool off until he starts facing some real opponents.
Yeah, because it's like you said. I mean, if that was Sergio Martinez and he took a tough loss like how he did with Ortiz, I don't think he'd be right back up on HBO especially with a European that nobody's even heard of.
HBO don't even like him.
It just seems like he just needs to learn how to, he just fights a little explosion, kind of like Frankie Gomez is doing. I want to see those guys pop the jab, a little lateral movement, work the body, set up combinations, kind of wear the guy down and have a game plan instead of just, I'm gonna blow up and I'm gonna move around and I'm gonna blow up and I'm gonna move around and I'm gonna blow. That's just,
yeah. With Frankie Gomez, I fell off of Frankie Gomez's wagon. I think on this fifth or sixth fight, and I was like, I think this is about the best we're gonna see him. And I think what Golden Boy is doing with them is the right thing. Keep him in front of the guys that really can't do much until maybe Frankie finds himself.
Jose
Benavidez Jr. It's sad to say, but Jose, his dad is probably doing a far better job with him than Freddie Rose. And I know some people are like, "What? What are you talking about?" Wait till we get Benavidez on the show. Wait till we get his dad and Junior, because I know right now they've been all smiling faces. But guess what? There's been a lot of rumors, not just from them, not just from outside, but even from them. They're not very happy with the Freddie Roach and Wild Card. Yeah, they went back, but guess what? They're not very happy. And have we seen improvement? Not a whole lot. But I think it's much better skills than we've seen from Gomez. Gomez getting new trainers. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Gomez, there's a difference there, I think, too, is that Gomez, and I didn't know this, but he only had, like, two open competitions. As an amateur, I think with fighting European guys, he isn't quite that seasoned. I think they turned him pro out of necessity, out of monetary necessity. And the thing that I don't get from him when I'm talking to him is that he loves this, that he wants to be a fighter, and not just that he wants to be, but that he has to be. Whereas when you talk to Benavidez and you watch him work, he wants to get in with everybody. I saw him in with Gessa. He was in with Linares the other day. He sparred with Shane Mosley yesterday. He's a guy that will get in with anybody.
Yeah, the progression
wants
to be
learn.
There. Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is that I'm not sure they don't want to be there. I think it's the Freddie Roach thing, and I think it's, and I haven't spoken to them about this, so I'm just speculating and observing.
And that's what
I'm
saying. I'd love to get them both on to find out what the truth is about.
The big misnomer when you say I'm training with Freddie Roach is that you're getting the same attention that maybe Jorge Linares is probably getting, that Amir Khan is getting, that Manny Pacquiao gets and has gotten in the past. A lot of times what you're getting when you go to Freddie Roach's gym is maybe 15 minutes on the pads. He watches your sparring and gives you some pointers on that during your pad session. The thing that Jose, I think, was missing going back to Arizona was the sparring. And there's no better sparring, in my opinion, than maybe Maywood or possibly Azteca at times, but Wilder is really the cornerstone of boxing right now. It's the place to be in terms of high-level guys just walking in the
right
door looking for work. I think that is going to make a guy like Benavidez better, is getting in there and competing with top-level guys. As far as the Freddie Roach thing, you know, I think that's probably where they're mad. It's like, okay, are you with us, or are you just with us for like 15 minutes? I think that's the real question.
Or are you going to get the credit? That, I think that's what it boils down to. You know, when the success is success, you're going to get the credit. When the success is not there, you're not going to get the credit. The thing with Gomez is that even when we had him on, and a lot of people don't even know this, before, the Pet Bull Gomez came on leaving the ring, he was not even signed yet to Golden Boy. They were in negotiations. They signed the same week when Gomez came on with leaving the ring. It was what, Thursday he came on. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday he signed off. I don't know. You guys can go back in the archives and find that out and correct me. But the thing was that in that interview, I asked him, because he was only 17, okay, is this something you wanted to do or is this something you have to do? He said, I have to do it because my parents are going in foreclosure. My parents are hurting for money.
Yeah.
And I could be, you know, correct me if I'm wrong about that, but this is what he said. This is what I remember. I believe this is, what, a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago. It's got to be like almost 2 years ago because, he's been with Golden Boy for almost 2 years because he's, what, 19 now? So,
yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, you know what, you get a guy that young, like my son, my son's a fighter. And if you've heard me talk about my boy or if you meet me, my son, Tristian, we call him the Terror. Since he was a baby, I mean, I literally a baby, I had him on my lap, he was throwing combinations. I got him on video at the age of 2 years old. He was hitting the speed bag with two hands. No, not hard, but he was hitting it, and he had good coordination. By four, he was hitting it two hands with power. Bing, bing, bing. By six, he was hitting it with one hand, and he was talking to you, and he would circle it. By seven, he was already sparring people. And he continued, and he progressed. I mean, this kid had it. And as his father, of course, I'm a boxing head. I'm very proud of that. I was pushing him. I was doing this. When he hit a certain point, either your love for your child is going to be the right move or the right thought, or the dollar signs of what you can make out of this child is going to take over. My son obviously came up to me and said, look, I love boxing, but it's not my sport. I want to be a soccer player. And that's what he wants. That's his dream. He puts it on his little essays. I want to be a soccer star. I don't care for soccer. You know, I'm a boxing fan. And with Gomez, you sit there, and Frankie, you kind of feel for him, man, because he didn't have a choice. And a lot of these fighters don't. A lot of these fighters end up growing up being great, being pushed into that greatness, And never having a choice of what they really want to do. Even though it might be what they want to do, they just were never given the chance to say, I want to do it. And Gomez, I can see that. I can see that. And well, not even that. I mean, the conversation. And the kid is just trying to come up in every which way he can in the sport. And I'm sitting back and I feel bad. Because I agree with my other colleagues when we say he's not that good. I'm sorry. He's just not going to – he doesn't have it. He's got the aggression. He's got the power. But, man, you put Jose Benavidez in there, Junior. Right now, Gabe, I don't know if you agree with me, but you put them both in there right now. I say Jose picks them apart. Maybe
oh,
it was some
God.
Scary moments, but he picks him apart really bad.
Yeah, I think so. Even that last fight, I mean, the thing that I did like about Gomez in the fight was that he showed signs of life. He moved better than he had. He was lighter in his feet. His defense was lacking, though, and he's just so wild in that. And he throws his punches, they don't back to his chin. His defense just gets really leaky. I hope, you know, and while he was more aggressive and it seemed like his conditioning was much better throughout, I think that's what got him through, and he showed some toughness. He still showed an inability to finish a guy that he'd dropped. He still was inconsistent in his offense. It was just a wild performance. I don't see, like Steve always says to me, like when you point at that guy, you know, if you didn't know who he was, you didn't know his background, you were just watching a fight, you wouldn't look at him and go, you know, that guy is a hot prospect. He's a top amateur. That guy's going places. You just don't. But when you look at Benavidez, and I didn't know who he was the first time I watched him spar, and he got into his con, I went, that guy is going to be somebody. Who the hell is this kid? You know, and I quickly found out, you know, this is a top amateur. They're going to turn him pro at 17. And I was like, great move. The kid is the goods. You know, and with Gomez, I was up there in Big Bear interviewing him, and I just kind of said, I even asked him, I was like, do you want to do this? Is this something that you love? And he said, yeah, you know, but the body language said no. And I just wonder, you know, at 18, 19, they're already having to take him to Big Bear to sequester him and to get him focused on his career. You know, I can only imagine him when he actually becomes a contender or gets a title, if he can do that. How are they going to keep him on track at that point when he starts to make even more money? I heard rumors that he retired or was trying to retire like 6-7 months ago, like before he went up to Big Bear. You know, that he had made all that money and just really wasn't that into it. You know, and Golden Boy invested a lot of money in him. I think it was like a $300,000 signing bonus, something like that. And I just, you know, it's no wonder that he had some money issues making investments like that. It's not a good investment. It's just a kid.
It's just crazy how they invest, and you know, you never know how the fighter's going to turn out. You see him kind of in a big question mark, and then Benavidez is looking like a monster in the gym. I mean, I saw that footage of him schooling Gesta, and I was like, is that really Gesta? Because I mean, Gesta couldn't even get a punch in, and he's getting, you know, I think that's why he's going back to the wild card every now and then, because maybe it's just all that good sparring, you know, and they've been going back to Arizona for a while. But Benavidez, him and his dad, they're good people. I got lucky, got a chance to chat with him a bunch of times, like, you know, he down last year, and I like Benavidez. That'd be cool if y'all get him on. But
we've had Benavidez. Even the same thing. You know what's funny? It was the week after. I think it was the week before Gomez came on. We had Benavidez and his dad before they signed with Top Rank. And we haven't had them back on. And you know what? I got their numbers. I've been wanting to get them back on. At the same time with Gomez, I think that would be a great anniversary of getting them both back on and talking them to a little bit about that, because the progression there was, you know, Benavidez, I'm trying to remember here, and I can't remember this. I think Benavidez beat Gomez in the amateurs. Yeah, it was Benavidez that beat him in the amateurs, and Caballero, Randy Caballero, who's a good friend of Leaving in the Ring, has been on there, and he's been progressing fantastic through his pro career, beat both of those guys in his amateur career.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought he beat Benavidez in the amateurs.
Yeah, so I could be
I
wrong, though, about
too,
the Benavidez
that,
goals, but find out.
I was there for the Benavidez-Gesta sparring. And, you know, the videos, they don't really capture – I mean, they capture the session very well, but – it didn't really tell the whole story. I mean, Gesta, he got there late. He didn't really warm up very much. And really, to me, spent the first four rounds kind of just feeling it out. It was very safe. There was a lot of respect between the two guys. It wasn't really until the last two rounds that it kind of heated up, and I still thought Benavidez pulled it out. But really, it was just work. It wasn't people go, you know, Benavidez won, or who did you think won? It was just two guys getting work, and two high-level guys that may have to deal with each other at some point. Kind of just seeing what the other guys got. Whereas Benavidez showed up. He showed up early right on time. Got right, you know, wrapped up, got warmed up, broke a little bit of a sweat. He was ready to go when that session started. And so I think it's a little bit misleading when you look at the tape and you don't know all that stuff. And you go, wow, you know, here's these two guys, prime of their life or approaching it.
and one guy is clearly ahead of the other guy. It really was just kind of work, and I don't know how serious Gesta was about coming in there, and maybe his being not warmed up and showing up late was a way of kind of lowering the expectations of the thing and kind of taking the air out of it a little bit. But it wasn't, you know, I've seen better sparring by guys you've never heard of at the wild card. You know, it was okay.
There was rounds I couldn't find either. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, really?
I mean, I remember I kept clicking, and I kept trying to get all the rounds in, but there was, like, some of them that were missing, and then some of them were, like, only about 2 minutes long. So yeah, I mean, it didn't show the whole thing, but...
They were like that, too, with the Chavez Jr. sparring session with Vonis.
Right.
And as much as people said, wow, Vonis schooled him, it was so much worse. It was so much worse than that. Like, I taped most of it and on my phone, man, I was watching it, and I taped a lot of Chavez Jr. warming up. That was the funniest part.
Yeah, man, you're going to send that to me.
Yeah, it was some of the weirdest stuff I've ever seen. It was like, what move is that? There was one in particular I will send you, Dave, that was the oddest move I've ever seen. And if I ever want, like, a quick laugh if I'm feeling really down, I put that in, and it just lights me up.
Maybe that's something we should put in the magazine.
Yeah, that's definitely. I'll give you that one because he's facing, you know, Rashad Holloway, and Rashad's on the ropes, and he's being very slick. He's making a miss. He's doing all these things, and Chavez does this thing that I think he thinks is a move to kind of throw him off, and then he just flops onto the ropes with his back, arms down at his sides, like he wants to switch positions with the guy. And it was like, it was a real puncher, and this is a real fight, and you tried that move, just instant knockout. It was too comical to even describe. I'll have to send it out to you, Dave, so you can make a video of it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Yeah.
I
couldn't stop laughing.
That's like, hilarious.
Lord.
Hey, Rob, I'm going to put you on hold, brother. We got some other calls, man, we got to take. Hey, thanks for always calling in, bro. Stay cool over there in San Antonio, Texas.
It's hot, fellas, but I'll try. All right, thanks.
Let's put in the doc who wants to talk anything about boxing here on Leaving the Ring. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hello?
Doc, you're on live right now. Yeah, what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing? Hello?
Oh, sorry. I have to remove it from the speaker.
That's okay. Go ahead, man. What's on your mind right now?
I've been in contact with you guys at Facebook. I just called in to talk about Abner Mares. I heard his interview, and he gave me a lot of respect. He acted more mature than he sounded more mature than Victor Ortiz, the way he handled the interview.
Yeah, you know what, I got to agree with you. He did. I mean, I think he came in, you know, I think he came into the interview not knowing exactly what was going to, how it was going to fare for him. And I think he handled it the way, because normally when he comes on, I think Gabe can agree with me, is that when he comes on, you can see there's more life to him. He's like, hey, what's up? How you doing? This time it was like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like, I'm not really sure what I'm going to receive here. And I think after a while he saw we broke the ice with him talking about getting cable and not having any more kids. I think that he kind of knew, okay, all right, I'm going to get a real interview and a fair interview. I mean, we didn't agree with everything, and we told him that. We didn't agree with everything he said, but at the same time we got to respect him because he did say, you know what, if the other shoe was on the foot, I would be asking for a rematch as well. So I got to tell you a lot. And then Russell Moura, he said, stole his moment, and he was upset about that.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised that he agreed with Gabriel about when Gabriel mentioned about he thinks that Abner is not ready for Donair. And I'm surprised that he agreed with that, which is not a lot of boxers do that now.
Yeah, you know what? I was really surprised by that too, Gabe. What do you think?
That Abner was just so open about it and so honest about it.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. You know, a lot of people, I don't really know Abner. You know, we talk at the fights. You know, I've talked to him maybe three times. I've never actually done a full interview other than on the show. Steve usually covers him for our site. But I've always known him to be a very upfront guy. He never shies away from my questions. And we usually just talk off the record. And even there, he's very open, very honest, very friendly guy. It's always interesting to me watch him fight because he's very fierce and really gets in there and is able to just get nasty. Because when you meet him in person, he's kind of not soft-spoken, but just kind of a nice guy. And I didn't expect anything less from him. So, I set up the interview through his management and then talked to him a little bit before and just let him know, like, we're not going to sugarcoat. We're going to ask you tough questions. And he just said, bring it on, you know. And I wasn't surprised that he answered anything the way he did. I mean, I just fully expected him to be up front. He's not a dirty fighter. I don't look at him that way. And, you know, like Bernard Hopkins always says, not everybody drives the speed limit on the freeway. You just when there's cops around. And if they were intentional, you know, that's on the ref to rein him in. You know, if they weren't intentional, it's still on the ref. Fighters just fight. The ref should ref. And you know, while I had a huge problem with what Mora did, what Abner was doing, it was just, it happens in a fight. And I don't understand people kind of lumping them both in together, like they were in some sort of collusion or that Golden Boy was behind this. And, you know, I thought Yair Gomez's comments after the fight were inappropriate. But, you know, they are what they are. You know, some people are bad winners, you know, but I wasn't surprised at all by Abner.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these guys from Golden Boy, Oscar and Gomez, they kind of need some filter on Twitter, you know, because they said a lot of stuff and
yeah,
they usually regret right after they hit the enter.
Yeah, they do. They need a lot of, not even.
Yeah, they need some help there. Yeah,
they do, man.
I find it interesting. They're a young company, you know, and I think if you went back to, if he was still with Top Rank, you know, there's a lot of things, like in that interview, they mentioned he's got three kids from other relationships. There was a few, I think it was a court case against him down in South America. He was accused of getting with an underage girl or something like that. A lot of those things really stayed, you know, we didn't hear about them. And it was kind of a different time when Oscar was up. There wasn't Twitter. There wasn't Facebook.
Yeah.
Things didn't spread this fast. There wasn't a million people with camera phones out there or TMZ. But still, you look at the Top Rank, and they're a little bit better about keeping things under wraps. And maybe Kelly Pavlik is the exception to that. But generally, you don't see a lot of controversy from stories broken about personal lives involving their fighters. They're an older company. They've got older publicists that are very smart and very controlled in how they handle their guys. Golden Boy is very young. They have a very young publicity staff. They do a very good job. But I always wondered, would Oscar's pictures have come out if he'd have been with Bob Arum? You know, would all the stuff that we know about him now come out if he was with Bob Arum?
I don't know.
Because there was a lot of stuff that went on with Oscar when he was with Bob in his heyday. You think he partied more or less before or after he was with Golden Boy? You know, I'd have to think that in his heyday, when he was in his prime, he was partying like a rock star. But way before he was married, you know, when he was his popularity was an all-time high, I'm sure the things he did then were just as crazy, if not crazier, than they are now. But we didn't hear about them. And I think that does speak to them being kind of a young company.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also just the way the media has changed.
Yeah. And like what you said, Top Rank doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And sometimes, yeah, that's good for Top Rank. Because sometimes for us, it kind of becomes boring because you already know that since Top Rank doesn't make a lot of mistakes, you already know the fights that they're going to put out. It kind of becomes a little bit more predictable because they don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why sometimes for Golden Boy, I kind of like when they make mistakes because when you see the Ortiz Maidana, I remember you guys were kind of like, oh, there could be an upset here. And sure enough, there was. So being a young company for like Golden Boy, it's kind of fun for us too. Like, you can see them make mistakes, and you know, you see
that's always been the thing with them
getting knocked out.
Well, because they're so, you know, because they've got Oscar, they've got so much clout in the industry, they were able to basically be top bill before they were really ready to be. You know, they signed a bunch of fighters, and everybody was very excited to work with Oscar. They had an exclusive output deal with HBO, which guaranteed them X amount of dates. So if you signed with them, you were probably going to get on the network.
Which is kind of sad, though.
Because of that, yeah, they got out there way too soon, and we've got to watch them grow up in public. And that's never a good thing.
You know what I was going to say? What's kind of sad, too, because they did sign Adnan Mar. Because when you think about, okay, who did they sign before building up to be a champion? And a lot of times they sign a lot of older champ guys that already had established names and were champions or ex-champions to bring them back to being in the championship level. And Adnan Morris was a guy, was one of the guys that signed to them, which was a build-up. They built them from the ground up. And when he gets to that pinnacle of his career, where Golden Boy can finally go, you see, we finally did it right. There was controversy behind it. And that kind of sucks for their party. It wasn't just a victory party for Adnan Morris being a champion, but it was, in a way, a victory party for Golden Boy Promotions. It didn't happen.
because Adnan Morris is probably the very first guy that they developed from bottom to up, you know. So it's probably big for them, but the problem is it's with controversy, like you said.
Exactly, brother. Brother,
hey,
thank you. Yeah,
hey,
go ahead.
Hey, David, how's your computer?
It's doing good, man. A lot better. It's doing a lot better, man. Thank you.
The software worked?
It did work. Yeah. Oh, Dax, is this you?
Yeah.
Oh, they put Doc here. DOC. Dax. Hey, man, thank you very much.
Nobody gets my name right anyway. So that's fine. Hey, I've been listening to you since YouTube, man.
What was that?
I've been listening to you since you started on YouTube, 97 Rough.
Oh, hey, appreciate it. That's where I started off. And, there's a lot of people that listen to me now that they've been following me. This is, 4 years ago. That's where I started from. And, I had told a lot of people this is what I wanted to do. I wasn't trying to be better. I wasn't trying to bring anything new. I just said I wanted to try something to refresh what I thought that boxing was lacking. And when it came to being covered and stuff, and everybody that's been in that journey with me, man, I appreciate it. You know, it's been fun, and it's a blessing, brother. Thank you, Dax, man. You were one of the guys that sent me, hey, this is how you got to do it with your computer, and I got to tell you, it's running like a champion, brother. It's running like a champion.
I'm glad I can help. Hey, Gabriel, one last thing is it's kind of funny because I was posting on one of David's comments on Facebook about Adnan Morris and Loblo, and me and Cartino kind of a little bit got heated up about the debate, so I kind of ended it. The next thing you know, it's you getting on debate with Cartino.
Everybody's got to cross the bear, and my inability to not argue is mine.
That's the reason I ended it, because no matter how much I say stuff, he's not going to listen, so in the end...
Somebody just texted me he should change his name from Carcino to Carcinogen. I think that's pretty apt.
Yeah.
He's pretty toxic.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm pretty good show, man. I'm surprised you guys have a lot of callers. I waited for, 40 minutes, 50 minutes? But, yeah, that just shows how popular you guys are.
Hey, Dax, thank you, brother. We try to be popular. We're not always the most popular people to speak to, but we try, bro. Hey, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for accepting my call.
You take care, man. I'll talk to you on Facebook.
All right.
It's always great, man. I talk to people on Facebook and Twitter, and, I love it. All around the world and stuff, like that old underground, digital underground, I think that was the song. I don't remember. I'm getting old, man, and stuff. And it's getting late because it's the first time we've ever went to 9 o'clock at night here on Leaving the Ring. Hey, guys. Really quick. Just do it. We got one.
Time for my cocoa. I got to go to bed.
Let's just patch in one more caller because they've been on hold. Leon, real quick, brother. What's on your mind, man, here on Leaving the Ring?
Man, I know it's quick. Dave, I'm actually in the Antioch area, and I want to know if you were going to that fight in Salinas this weekend.
You know what? Yeah, brother, I'm going down over there, man. You going to be there?
Yeah, I'm thinking about going out.
Yeah, come on down, man. I'll be there for Eloy Perez.
Okay, and Dave, I'm gonna call him next week. I need your gamer tag, man. I want to get on you on that fight night.
Okay, brother. We'll do, man. Hit me up on Facebook. If you don't got my Facebook, it's Leaving the Ring. Or hit me up on Twitter and let me know if you're down there. I'm going to be in Hollister, and from Hollister, I'm going to go down to Salinas.
Sounds good. I'll definitely do that.
All right, brother. You take care, man.
All right, I'm doing.
But there you go, everybody, man. I always appreciate when you guys call in and chop it up with us here on Leaving the Ring. It's always a pleasure. Remember, we did become half owners of Undisputed Fight Magazine. Please, please check it out. 3 months free, a subscription, and $1.99 after that. We're going to bring some new content, me and Gabriel, the whole crew of the Leaving the Ring, exclusive video, you name it, we're going to do it, and some other things as well on that new magazine. So you might as well call it Undisputed Leaving the Ring Magazine. Anyways, again, myself, the man behind the board, Mr. David Chen, and my co-host, my boy, my left, my right-hand man, my ace, Mr. Gabriel Montoya. We want to tell you guys thank you, and have a good night. Don't drink and drive.
If you're driving, don't drink. Take it easy.
Take it easy.